United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
Let's go! And there you go.
All right, there we go.
And so, you know, the caucus is, they support people that have no intentions of playing ball with any black people whatsoever. But they, why don't you give me your vote, you know, and I'll be okay. Yeah, but, you know, but that's what I'm loving. I'm loving that, you know, the news media cannot deny this one. They can't deny it. And so they're sitting up here, and they know good and well that, you know, that the situation is who he is, who he supports, what he does, and, yes, it makes a difference, people on my Facebook and in the room. It makes a big difference who he is because guess what? He's the people that you always say are the best, and they don't mean you any harm, and they mean you good. And so now you're going to give him an award, and now you can't give him an award because you didn't check him out in the first place and you believed his face story, and then you dogged others on their face story. That's what I'm loving about this. That's the principle of the thing.
And will it change anything?
Well, will it change anything? No.
Yeah.
No.
Doesn't make sense.
Mm-mm.
Doesn't make sense.
Not going to change the doggone thing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, not a thing. So, you know, here it is. Here we go, you know. We're back at these points, push points, and then watching who's who and what they do and what they don't do and what matters. I'm still on the cowboy.
Well, it's my understanding he gave this guy gave a ton of money to the NAACP over the years.
Of course he did, because he's buying his way through.
This is not his first time.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-mm.
I mean, this is not his first time at the rodeo.
Is it his first time making a racist
remark? No. He's been sued several times and been settled out of court.
Oh.
And actually, because of his landlord and his properties, he's owned properties and he's been sued for discrimination,
mm-hmm.
and it's just been settled out of court. It just didn't come to light. And just because people throw money at you doesn't mean they like you.
Yeah.
Well, this is true.
And people, and you got to realize he had a black girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah,
y'all missing that.
Half black.
Well, half, okay.
Mm-hmm.
One drop, Jeff.
Right, no, I understand.
So how you gonna tell a black girl,
don't
who's
bring
your
a
girlfriend,
black
who you done spent $2 million on, who
easy.
Your wife is suing?
Easy.
And how you gonna tell her? And she, and you know what? Y'all, listen. Let me tell you something.
Easy.
Don't mess with black, because she will tell on you when she gets mad.
I got you out of there. Away from those people, and
listen.
So don't bring those people to the game with you.
Hey, Eric, your mic is on. Listen, let me tell you guys something. Let me tell you something about black women. I can't speak for white women because I don't know them like I know black women. But let me explain something to you. If you go and date a black woman, remember, don't say nothing. You don't want everybody to know, because when they get mad, they're gonna tell it.
I don't.
Recorded.
I hear that, but I don't buy that.
No, Jeff.
It was recorded.
He had his girlfriend record him because he kept forgetting what he was saying.
I understood.
So they've got like 200 hours of these tapes.
Huh?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
They've got like 200 hours of these tapes.
So wait a minute. She had him. He
asked her to record him so he wouldn't forget what he had said.
Excuse me? And then he did something stupid like that?
I didn't say he was smart just because he was rich.
He's got Alzheimer's. It was sort of like Richard Nixon saying, hey, why don't you just record everything that happens in this office?
Well.
Stupid.
But, I mean, think about this. You know that you're being recorded. You say something stupid like that. You put everybody in it. You give people access to it. And you don't think it's going to get out?
Yeah.
Because from my understanding, the girlfriend told his wife, I will get you back.
Well, I mean, that's cool.
What?
I mean that is something, but I don't think that you can lame that to black women.
I'm just saying overall women in general.
Well, no, that's a different thing.
But she was a black girl. But I'm talking about women in general. But
I don't know black girls to be that way.
What, to be a woman scorned? Man, we
no to do what you just said.
A woman scorned?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we will cut your throat.
I don't believe that.
White women do that too.
That's what I'm
Thank
saying.
You.
I'm
saying.
Yeah, you missed my pre. You're my preference.
You said black woman. I said.
I can only speak for black women because I'm a black woman. Didn't I say that?
Yeah, and I
can. And you can speak for white women if you want to.
I can because of experience.
But, and that's what I'm saying. I'm just speaking on behalf. I'm not trying to say it's only black women or only Asian. I can only speak for what I know. Uh-huh. Don't jack up. Don't do that. He did something. Whatever happened, because there's more to the story that made this come out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but,
well,
you know.
Don't have no fury.
That game was very interesting.
That's
yesterday.
What I'm trying to tell you. What'd you say, Eric?
That game was very interesting yesterday. I never seen anything like it.
What's that? When they turn their jerseys on inside out or what? Or just the climate
of
the game?
They threw the game. They threw the game.
Yeah, they did.
Oh, they threw it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that ain't the end of that either.
But my question is, now, let me say this. Now, I got a question for you guys. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. It looks like you guys jumped into the middle of this conversation early. As you walked in the door, y'all started on it.
No, actually, we did.
No, we had that's how the weekend went first.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how the weekend went first. It went well. Let me tell you what the Clippers at. Let's say this.
Wait,
hold on. But I just
want to ask. We're men.
I know. You guys are men. You can't help it.
We talked about NASCAR.
No. It's only 19 minutes after the hour.
We talked about the fight at the NASCAR race.
Yes. Yeah, we didn't
know
hot and heavy.
Yeah, two drivers got in a fight after the race was over.
We've never known a man. Never mind.
I thought it was 19 minutes after the hour. You come up at 6 after. I walk in and y'all
would be, like my one of my former friends and co-hosts.
What?
What am I going to do with the other 45 minutes?
What I'm trying to say. Hey, listen. The number is 347-945-5229. Listen to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. And it's open mic today. We're talking about the Clippers owner. I've got to take a break, but I want to know, do you guys think that he should still have ownership of the team?
Yes.
Hold on, Jeff, before you just tease old man. Let me get it out. Because people are calling for the commission to, you know, somehow, because he's the longest franchise owner right now, and people are really, they don't want him to be an owner anymore, and I don't think that I don't think that's the, quite the right way to go. But I'm just saying, Jeff, we know how you feel since you jumped in.
Yeah.
But my question is, I'm going to do this after the break. Do you think that we ought to like move? Should he be no longer the owner of the team? And what penalty can you give a billionaire? And what sanctions can you give a billionaire that's going to hurt his pocket? And how's that going to hurt him? We'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll see you on the other side of our break.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling. Because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our Crisis Stabilization Unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Concerned about your health? Confused about the amount of prescription drugs you are taking? Wondering which vitamins to take? Call Dr. Matt.
Constantly tired?
Do you have pain, migraine headaches, or digestive upsets? Or you just feel like your immune system is weak? Call Dr. Matt Mason at Mason Wellness, 330-219-6250, or visit our website at masonwellness.com.
Fit Family, unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austintown receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga,
kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax.
The women of Warren and the surrounding areas now have a choice for affordable glamour. Charlie's Consignment Boutique on East Market Street in Warren has a fine selection of reasonably priced women's clothing, as well as clothes for men and children. You'll also find a great selection of shoes for everyone. Our consignment shop stocks jewelry and accessories and cosmetics by Mary Kay. Charlie's Consignment Boutique in Warren. Call 330-766-5778 now to schedule a complimentary facial. 408 East Market Street in Warren.
Harper Keegan with your headline news. The Youngstown Heritage Center held an open house over the weekend. The building, constructed in 1927, used to house Our Lady of Hungry Church on the city's west side. Now it's a center highlighting Youngstown's rich history. Repairs still need to be done to the old structure. There's currently a campaign to raise money for a new boiler and to fix the roof. One woman is dead after a fire broke out Saturday at Grovewood Manor Apartments in Youngstown. Crews say the building was evacuated, but the flames were contained to one unit. The woman's identity hasn't been released, and the cause of the fire is under investigation. And a Youngstown man shot three times outside of a bar early Sunday is in critical condition. Police say the man got into a fight with someone outside the bar on Oak Street. His girlfriend told police they heard several shots, went outside, and found the man lying on the ground in the parking lot. No one's been arrested in the case so far. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
We're back with Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM, 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM, online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. In studio we have Ben. Hi, Ben.
Hi.
And Sticks.
Hello.
And Jeff. Hey. And myself. And in the chat room, it looks like it's filling up. I see Diva was there. Eric is there. Covina Mann's there. South Carolina. And I'm going to pull up the phone lines in a minute. And I asked you for the top. My question today is, should he still be an owner? And how do you sanction a man? How can you hurt him when you have you're going to give him $100,000 and tell him he can't go to his own game?
Why do you got to punish somebody for being a jerk? Can't the market just punish him by nobody showing up for his games?
The problem is, well, they could. And so how do you penalize?
Can't the players penalize him for just basically not playing?
No, because it affects their game. It affects them in the future. They can't continue. It will affect them.
You can't continue to pretend to play basketball.
No, you can't. You can't. No, it will affect their futures.
If I was a commissioner, I think what I would do would make him accountable by offering tickets to the people he doesn't want at the game for $5.
But let me say
poor minority kids in the city.
No, he's not giving out money to poor minority kids.
No. He doesn't want people. He doesn't want black people.
No. You got to understand. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about black people at the game. You got to realize, in most box seats, you're not going to find many colored people up there anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's he's talking about at the VIP seats. He's talking about up in
for the rest of the season.
That's not going to hurt him.
Those seats should be held only for minorities.
That's not going to hurt him. Covina, man, your mic is on. That's not going to hurt him. Come on now.
I think Tracy.
Yeah. Hold on, Sal. Hold on.
He has to sit in the middle of them.
That's not going to hurt him.
Yeah, this will be. No. I think that the audio tape reveals a whole lot, more than just, the basketball thing, but I think that what it goes to show and what I was trying to point out before, probably
before you just got on.
No, I said before, I'm saying last week or the week before, that I was talking about, you know, the Negro bedwinch with the, you know, with the white man, and it's that people always try to go to, oh, this person can't be a racist because either they're sleeping with somebody, you know, of a different race or something, and you know, that this whole thing blows a hole in that sex is a very powerful tool in white supremacy. And that's what...
Hold being a man, stop. Before we go that stupid, that early, let me say this. I will always tell you, people like my color. They don't. They like my. They like me, but they don't like my kind.
Mocha chocolate, yeah, yeah.
I'm not, and I'm not, and white supremacy and sex and all that kind of stuff.
Hey, old Tracy, mama.
You can't. Racism is deep rooted. There's a lot of people that like you but don't like your kind. That's real. But you can't open a broad brush. And make everybody a racist. This man's been giving money out to poor black folks for a long time. And we've been taking, he was getting ready to get the NAACP award.
Love it. I hope they still give it to him.
Hold up. Hey, Bill Clinton was in Detroit this weekend rallying the troops at the end, at the Jefferson dinner. I'm trying to tell you, we've been trying to tell you this for a minute. Just because they come to your dinner and eat your fried chicken does not mean that they're in love with you. That ain't got nothing to do with who he's sleeping with. A man will sleep with a frog.
Right.
And they
just
do.
What you just said, I said something about all white people. I didn't say nothing about all white people. If you stick to what I just said, I said it blows a hole in that concept that people say that someone can't be racist if they're sleeping with somebody of a different race. That's the only thing I said.
I said people say
that all the time.
I ain't never heard that.
I have. That if you, he can't be prejudiced. He got a black girlfriend, or he got a white girlfriend, or this, that, and other. That has nothing to do with it.
Right.
Yes, Al.
Listen, I'm looking at this thing from a realistic point of view. Look, here you've got. If you see the picture of this girl with Magic Johnson, there's two women in that picture. All right, you got the one woman looking for it, and she's smiling, and that's it. You got this other, this girlfriend, she's hugged up on Magic Johnson, making a very provocative look, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This man is 80 years old. I don't know how old the girl is. But it sounds like to me she's gold digging.
And your point is?
My point is, hey, if the man was saying that in their private conversation, that's fine. Let him say it. That's his business. We know what Al Sharpton said. To the FBI and whoever he was buying the drugs from, it's come out. Nobody's bothering him. Nobody's trying to sanction him. He's a snitch, and nobody's bothering him. Just because this man's got some money and he's white and he owns a basketball team, he's racist now. Tracy, you're going to call a man a racist now that has come out and you've been taking money from him for years? You're a hypocrite.
No, you ain't.
NAACP need to shut up. And anybody else that's benefiting from
taking money, they take money from people that don't like black people all the time. That ain't nothing new.
I agree with you on they need to shut up because I can't take the hypocrisy of the whole, of the entire organization, and they need to go somewhere and get a soul again where they care about people instead of caring about people putting money in their pockets. Because I'd rather have nobody putting money in my pockets than to go back on my principles.
But let me ask this. But this is not new.
Oh, well, we're not saying it's new. What we're trying to do here is bring this, at least this is what my view is here, is I want you people to understand the foolishness of people to say they love you.
They can't. Didn't I just get done telling you? Bill Clinton was in Detroit. And the tweets that were on my page and in my Facebook and on my timeline about how great this man was, Bill, and he and they were celebrating him, and they and he was the man of the hour. And if he was in Detroit, I can guarantee you he was there to rally the troops.
And what was he saying about Barack Obama?
Oh, he's in love with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But basically, what I'm getting is that
this isn't
a white or black thing. This is a green thing.
No, no, it's both. Because because he clearly said, don't bring no man dingo to the game with you, because I'm a done dingo. I'm an 80-year-old dingo. So you know, my dingo don't go. So what?
Exactly. And I think it had more to do with testosterone.
No.
With the testosterone. Well, it has more to do with testosterone and his manhood than about black. You bring in a black
South
man
Carolina.
To the game.
South Carolina.
Why do you feel like you need to be with him? Yes.
South Carolina, this is the issue. Hold on. You have to realize, this is not his first time at the rodeo. See, this is not his first time actually doing some stuff. Right? And let me say this. A man has a right to feel as he chooses and do what he does. He does. It's America. But this is not his first time doing something that has been discriminatory and or in a racist way. This is not new. You have to realize his mindset of ignorance. He's very, very prejudiced.
Well,
he
comes
likes what
time.
He wants. But let me say this, and he's not the only one.
No, and he comes from a time when Jim Crow was still alive.
Absolutely. And as he goes towards his senility, he feels the same way. I will screw you, but I do not want them other people around here, including Magic Johnson.
Right, you have to listen to all the audio because there's a lot of it. Right,
I got one for 9 minutes.
Hold on one second. And what he reveals about Jewish people in Israel and black people totally highlights, and it's not just talking about black people in this culture or black people in America. He says black people in general. He said Israel Jews hate black Jews. He said that's just the way that it is. They didn't hate black people. That's what he said. So it's not just a culture. It's just a racial thing. They don't like black people. Period.
And it's somewhat true. I hate to say, but it is. You have to understand those cultures and understand exactly what they're talking about. It doesn't matter about the Israeli Jews hating the other Jews, this, that, and the other. What matters here is what they're getting ready to try to do, and that is they're going to try to take what the man earned because he feels that way.
And you can't do that.
And that, which is absolutely wrong and incorrect. I don't agree with Clyde, but guess what? The government overreached in taking that land for no reason, number one. Number two, that doesn't make him wrong in everything because he's wrong in some things.
Yes. And you don't have to, I tell y'all this, but white people don't have to like all black people.
No.
But it's not,
I don't even like all white people.
It's not.
I'm the same way but for both sides.
Yeah. I mean,
but it's not. It's not just about him not liking black people or being racist. This guy has a modern day slave owner mentality, and how he looks at his players. If you listen to extended audio, mm-hmm. he goes into much more detail, even about his own players. When she asked him, "You do know you have black players for you, black people who play for you, right?" and he says, "Who feeds them? Who clothes them? Who
right.
gives them
well,
houses?
Diva,
who gives them
Diva
cars?
Fleety?
Hey,
that's
did
what?
Not the, did not
Diva.
The slave owner have that same
Diva. Diva.
Answer?
Diva, can I tell you this? And I gotta let Fix jump in. I hate to tell y'all this, but you're going to work every day for some folks that get the same mentality.
I was just about to say, what do you think?
One thing, Tracy, can you keep your thought in your mouth and in your head, but when you start
Diva,
to bring
Diva,
your thoughts and your feelings
Diva.
Into action,
No. See, if I get
the
on, hold on, hold on, stop. See, if I get on TV or if I get up in a public arena and make those statements, it's one thing. If I make these statements in the confines of my own office to my own personal person, whatever that is, that's up to me.
And what he did was he spoke his thoughts inside of his own office or in his own building, in his own confine that happened to be recorded, that happened to hit social media.
And I'll tell you exactly what you have heard. You have heard the attitude of every progressive billionaire since John
D. Rockefeller.
Thank you. Absolutely. We're talking about every progressive billionaire. We're talking about
Listen, I'm going to show you something just right here. Right in our chat room, you have a guy named I Know Stuff who's talking about he knows that Republicans hate black people, but they'll take their money, which is the most asinine thing I've heard in a long time since Facebook, okay? Now, that's asinine. You know why it's asinine? Because Republicans don't care about your money one way or another.
Let me say it this way. We need to take the tags off. Because I can't say all Republicans.
He's saying all Republicans are a certain way. And I'm trying to say people are people.
That's where I was going. And I don't want people to think that just because you're a Democrat, you are a racist. Because I know some.
No.
Not, and just because you're a Republican. But see, they've labeled the Republicans as racist. And that's where the misnomer
That's where I was going with it. And you said it to the thing. That's good. Here's the bottom line. Okay, since they've done this, quit being stupid, because this man has been taking black people's money that comes to his game and sits in those cheap seats all the time, and you know there's a bunch of them that go to that game out there in California.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. When you go to a professional game, especially in Los Angeles, over the years, you will not find a ton of black people. Hold on, Jeff. Let me finish. You will not find a ton of black people there. What we do is we buy the stuff that makes the money, the merchandise. We wear the shirts. We wear the hats. We wear the tennis shoes. We wear the jackets. But when you go to the games, the most people that you will find at the game is less than 10%.
Still, yeah.
Hold on. And in the upper boxes and in the good seats, You've got a couple name people there, but as far as actually, it's almost like a white gladiator sport. If you were to just go in there and look, it's amazing.
And if you think that's bad, you got to go to a Kings hockey game.
Oh, same thing.
Oh, yeah.
But it's the same way.
But we only make up so many people, and so therefore I don't expect to see a whole lot of anything.
And the difference hasn't been that popular at all.
No.
And Covina, man, I know you can attest to that. We're not there.
Yeah. Right. Well, here in L.A., you know, there's not that many black people anyway. So, but you go to the Laker game, they play in the same arena. They play in the Staples Center. The Lakers and the Clippers play in the same arena. And the Lakers, they've been successful. They got a lot of black fans. Black people love the Lakers. The Clippers, not so much because Donald Sterling, he really was the worst owner in professional sports. He always would have a losing team on purpose. And nobody really particularly likes the Clippers until right now. Clippers kind of got popular. When people come to the game, they come in to support the players. But I know now nobody black going to show up unless it's South Carolina. He might show up, but no other black person would show up.
But I'm saying, but overall, when the Clippers were playing at the Coliseum, you could go in there and there was an echo. And I'm just saying, when I go to the game, and it's really, really amazing.
Oh, you could walk the day of the game and get tickets back in the 90s.
We need to understand the framework of professional sports.
Yeah, good.
And what's happened here, it has exposed a generality of a lot of your owners. Let's go back to the Cincinnati Reds, I believe it was. Remember the baseball owner, the woman?
Oh, yeah.
Remember her?
Marge.
There you go.
Shot. Yeah.
Nothing. You have to realize, you would be surprised at the mindset of people who you support, who you think love you. Do we need to go back to buckwheat and your politician?
you're getting ready to put buckwheat's wife in office. Though.
Again, do we really understand? And we're not saying that these are not nice people, but their mindset that they have of people of color is all the same. And this doesn't have a party designation, but it has a mental thinking. And so, Diva, when you say, you'd be surprised. The people that you work for, they have the same mindset.
And I just want to bring up another fact. You know, for every Marge shot out there, I mean, there's a Branch Rickey. Okay?
Who's Branch Rickey?
He's the owner of the Brooklyn Dodgers that broke the color barrier.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
But what you have to remember about this guy, though, let's take this even further. His statements that he made, while they were mainly directed at black people, they're also a progressive billionaire mindset that goes back through late 1800s, where you're not intelligent enough to take care of yourself, so you need me. And Henry Ford wanted to build entire towns for his employees, and he wanted you to be born into the Ford family. And it basically, he wanted to turn everybody into a wage slave.
And who did he support during the war?
He didn't support him during the war, but before the war, he was actually a fan of Adolf Hitler and the Nazi movement.
But I thought he funded the very first part of the war.
No, he didn't.
I apologize.
But you got to remember too, FDR thought Hitler and Mussolini were both
actually Ford contributed to the United States war effort tremendously. His plants were turned over to war production. Okay.
Well, they were taken over. Go ahead, Diva. You don't have a choice.
The one thing that no one is pointing out is the mentality of the young girl. Well, South Carolina touched on it. The mentality of her, and I just, because she said, you know I'm black, right? Well, you know I'm mixed. He said, no, I didn't know that. She said, yes, she did. You know I'm Latino and black. And he said, yeah, but you agreed to get rid of that. I'm like, so there was a deal between the two that she would not flaunt her African-American heritage in public.
Does that sound like what happened in the election where it says, where Harry Reid says he doesn't have to have a black dialect if if he doesn't want one, he doesn't have a black dialect. He's willing to let that blackness go so we can support
him. I'm done with this conversation.
Yeah,
every time we're talking about one particular...
Hold on, let me say this. And there was a deal cut, and she didn't mind because she's got, from my understanding, she's gotten $2+ million in benefits being his chick on the side. And all this came up out of his wife suing her for gifts that she's received.
Mm-hmm.
This has a lot to do with that. And, yes, you know, South Carolina, she's a gold digger, but if you go to Los Angeles, you'll find a whole bunch of folks digging gold.
And they're not the 49ers.
I don't mind her being a gold digger.
And they will do whatever's necessary.
It's in the Hollywood Hills now.
That's right, Hollywood Hills.
They'll do whatever's necessary to get the gold out.
Uh-huh.
I don't mind her being a gold digger. She can do whatever she wants.
Diva.
But, I mean, the deal that
Diva.
Was cut. I mean, how many times you got to sell your soul to the devil?
Diva, this ain't selling herself. This isn't selling herself to the devil.
Diva's
just selling. This is what you call high price pimping.
Absolutely.
How you see a high price pimping without selling your soul?
Diva, she didn't sell her soul. She sold everything else.
There you go. She already lost that.
Diva, you have to realize it happens every day. And don't think that most of us don't play the same game. We just don't sell the whole soul. Don't get it twisted. Remember when Whoopi Goldberg was dating Ted Danson?
Yeah, and he was racist, wasn't he? He said some racist things.
You got to realize there's a difference between
off color.
He said some off color things that made them split.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the white guy that took Whoopi to the bank?
Mm-hmm.
Her first husband.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta understand, this is not new.
Okay, but how is she selling her soul just because she's dating a white guy?
No. Remember the comments that came out. You gotta understand. You gotta go back to the Friars Club and the blackface and all that stuff that was going on. You gotta look at what was happening then. Remember, we're talking about liberals. See, we forget all that.
What I don't understand is when we get on this discussion about the actions of a person, it always has to come back to political affiliation.
Let me tell you why.
Absolutely.
Let me tell you why, because everything you touch is political. And until you realize that everybody that comes and eats at your house is not your friend, you will always lose. They don't have to like you, but you need to know that your enemy is in your house.
Right. Okay, let me ask a question.
I got to pick up another call, Covina. Hold up.
Oh, okay.
Hold on. Stanley, go ahead.
Hey, Tracy, sorry.
Good morning.
Good morning, Tracy. I have to say I agree with what you're saying this morning. And coming back to Diva, I'm sorry. If you're working, you are almost doing a thing like a slave. if you're getting, you're going to a job working for somebody, you're basically doing what he's saying. You're basically working for somebody as a slave. Modern slavery is job. Because person could fire you, could, basically somebody else is controlling your financial life. Basically, you have no power. Once you have a job, you're done. You have no power. So it's modern slavery. That's it.
Well, you're not done, but you have to realize that that's the relationship. Because
that's
why people tell you to start your own business and pay yourself what
you're
worth.
Exactly. Exactly. So when I'm laughing at people are saying, oh, slavery, it's not happening. Yes, it is. It's happening. 90% of people who are working for somebody are basically are slave. Because if you don't own something, you're done. Because somebody can fire you and do anything he wants financially with you.
But let me say this, Stanley.
I got a question.
Hold on. Slavery, one thing is servitude and one thing is slavery. I will not call us going to work as slavery. But I will say this, it is a form of servitude unless you become to the place where your money will begin to work for you.
Work for
right.
you.
The problem that we have is we think that everybody around us is going to love us and like us, and that's not how it works. You don't know the mindset of that business owner. You don't know who he is. But you go to a job to do your job.
Yeah.
And then you ought to have your money on the side. But what's happening today is we go and think it's a kumbaya moment. Everybody's going to love us, and everybody's going to be a part of our team. And that's not how it works.
Or they think also, Tracy, that they're going to stay 20 years or 30 years in the same place, and the owner's never going to fire them. And they put
that
whole thing.
Tracy,
yeah, they put that whole heart on it, and they say, well, I'll never get fired. And then when they get fired or something because it's just business, they get surprised. How could you do that? What would you expect?
But wait a minute. Let me get on stand real quick. Because if you were a slave and that slave master said, I'm going to use the N-word here. That slave master said, hey, nigga, I want you to do this. You couldn't do nothing. But if you went to work today and your slave and your boss said, hey, nigga, I want you to do this, you take that sucker to court and get paid.
You know how many people would do it? If you tell them, hey, you better do this or else you're fired, 90% of people would do it. No matter what, if you're an owner, you would be shocked of people doing. They will look at the integrity or whatever. If you're telling me you better do this job or else you're done.
I said you.
Trust me not. A lot of people will do what you would never think they would do.
Stan, hold on. I said nigger. If they said, hey,
no, I'm not. I said it's modern slave. I didn't say they're gonna call you name. But when you're telling me. When you're telling me, hey, I've known people that cut their wages when the boss said they had to. I've known people that done things that the boss told you better do. You better do the overtime. If you don't do the 12 hours or whatever overtime, you're done. And that was
Hold on, guys.
That was the end of the discussion. That's it.
Hold on. Alabama, your mic is on.
Yeah, I was listening to Jason Black, and he made a comment. He played a part I haven't really heard where the guy was saying, I give them the cars, their houses, their food. And so my thing is, this guy understands the game. He's not supposed to say that because that's unpopular. But what he's saying is, as long as you work for me, I have the power. I call the shots. He was just saying, we the owners.
Covina, Alabama, you got to do something with that wind blowing in your ear.
He was just saying that we run the league. We make this league. The owners make the league. He was saying that. He wasn't saying that. And so my thing is blacks, when you get these $100 million contracts, quit having babies with strippers. Quit going to the strip club and making it rain. Take that money and go do something. Let's have 500 Magic Johnsons instead of one. He's the only athlete I can name, maybe give or take a few others, that have done something with all these millions of dollars they get. A fool in this money shall soon depart. I agree with you. You working for somebody, be in charge.
Let me get into the mix. But see, this is, and I agree with Alabama, but let me say this. We don't do that. When we have our own resources as African-Americans, if you want to level the playing field, what you'll do is you'll go start your own business, and then you'll bring people in, bring them up through the ranks so that everybody can have wealth. That's how wealth is created in America. The problem is we like working for other people because we don't want to take responsibility for making sure that we have to have that payroll.
Everybody's looking at this, I think, from the wrong direction. I mean, you're not working for somebody. You're selling your labor.
That's true.
To that person. Okay? So you're not a slave. You've got a choice whether or not you want to sell your labor to your employer.
No, exactly.
I own my own business.
Well,
I've got people that work for me, and I work for other people.
But now, wait a minute. But what happens in our culture is people enslave themselves.
That's my point.
To their finances.
Mm-hmm. They spend more than
because
what they
I tell you right now, you've got a whole lot of people working at General Motors right here in the Valley, making a lot of money.
That have claimed bankruptcy.
And they're flat broke.
But let me say this. You're right, and you're right
about
it.
And they have to show up every day.
To make that note.
An awful lot of other people making 25, 30 grand a year, and they can tell their boss go hang himself any morning they want.
But let me say this. There's a balance to this.
There is.
When you look at gas prices right now hitting almost $3.75, and you're talking, well, you know, will you save your money? Well, if my budget says I'm going to spend $50 a month on gas, and gas is now going to take me up to, you know, $150 a month. You got people's mortgage companies right now that are playing games with them.
Mm-hmm.
They really are, and they don't know what to do.
What do you mean they're playing games with them?
They decided that there are cities that are outside of our valley where their taxes are so enormous that they get behind no matter what they do.
But nobody's telling you have
but
to live
the
there.
But that's the government.
No.
That's not the mortgage company's fault. That's the government's fault.
It's not about how it's. No. Let me finish. And the mortgage companies are now taking their taxes and rolling them in. So if you have back taxes, instead of you paying your municipality your back taxes, they're rolling your back taxes into your mortgage without you knowing. And then you get a
They know.
Let me finish. When they let you know, the bill comes. It's like you don't know.
But once again,
listen, let me finish. What I'm saying is they roll it in, and so every year when you get your statement, they say this year, instead of you paying $700 a month for your mortgage, it's going to be $1,200 a month because we rolled in your taxes.
Listen, who held a gun to your head when you signed that mortgage
listen
paper?
To what I'm
you
saying.
You don't have to take escrow.
You guys will not listen to what I said.
Yeah,
they're doing this as a result of whatever's going on. You don't have to take escrow. You did not. You've been in your house 30, 40 years, 20, 30 years. You've been paying your mortgage. They've just done this on their own. And people are really, really they're within because they don't know what to do. And you tell them, well, you need to save money. Well, listen, the money that I'm saved is now going towards my livelihood. And people are it's not like you can just leave one job anymore and go to another.
Yes, you can.
No,
if you have
can.
A skill.
Even if you have a skill, you can get your master's degree, you can get your PhD in a worthy cause.
You got
a
trade.
It may not be easy.
Everybody doesn't have a skilled trade that you can go and build a hammer. Women don't have that luxury, sweetie.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
There's a lot of women pipe fitters. Call your buddy over at the hall.
Not at 40 years old. You don't go back and become a pipe fitter.
Well, but see, that's how people get enslaved themselves because they always think, I can't do this, I can't do that. It's not possible. Anything is possible. You can do anything you put your mind to. It's just the fear of what's unknown and what's to come. But sometimes you just got to buck up and say, I got to do this. Instead of staying in a situation
that
you
don't
know.
What you say, Diva?
I agree with Diva 120% right now. That was right on the mark.
Can I say this? I hear what you're saying, but at the same time, you're not looking at certain things. First of all, there are still situations. We're talking about right now a severely racist young old man that holds a lot of jobs in his hands. Multiply that by how many people, and then how about the 15% of us that are trying to get stuff done or trying to go somewhere and work, and just like friend of yours wouldn't even look at me to even hire me at a time when I could have been an asset to them because of my skin.
And even
so
her,
not,
her niece was.
So I understand, yes, it's good to have all of that, and I believe that this is the land of opportunity, believe you me.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what happens, where you have to go, you can make it. There's no doubt about it. And if you make your mind up, you'll make it. However, you still are in a situation
where you have to start somewhere. And wherever you start, you are going to be a subject of that until you get control of your money that you're making, even if it's 2 cents. And see, that's the problem with most Americans. We're so spoiled, we want to live at a certain level of living. We're not going to come over here like the immigrants do and live in the back of a store and operate a penny store out front with our family sitting in the back in one room on two beds and sleep that way every night until we make money.
Family
and making
living
sure
in
that
one
you're
right.
Yeah.
I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy.
I don't agree with this whole uproar about this guy. I mean, you got guys like Chris Paul getting $100 million contract. Take it, go and create some wealth for yourself. Come back and buy his team when he dies. That's how you fix people like
but
that. You fight power with power. Power only respects power. You cannot cry and moan because he's racist. You got to go out and beat him at his own game. That's all I see right now.
I agree with you, but will that culture allow there to be a black owner who owns the team outright 100%?
First of all, most black players aren't even at that level to be worth. Magic Johnson he wanted the Lakers. He can't afford the Lakers, number one. So, but if Magic Johnson had wanted the Oklahoma City Thunder or the Sacramento Kings, he could have had the wealth. He has the wealth to achieve that.
Is that Michael Jordan part owner of the Bobcats?
Michael
Jordan is the owner of the Bobcats.
100% owner. I thought he was just a part owner.
No, he's the majority owner. There's people that have parts of it, but he's the majority owner. Like Dan Gilbert, Usarima had a part. What is it? Or what they say? Jay-Z had 1% of the New Jersey Brooklyn Nets, but that guy used Jay-Z to pry his way into Brooklyn. Then he kicked him off the team, kicked him out of ownership.
Exactly. So my thing is, because Donald Sterling owns 100% of the L.A. Clippers.
When he dies,
what's his name? He owns 100%.
Mark Cuban.
Mark Cuban.
I don't know if he owns 100%. He's the majority owner. You can have four or five different owners in a team, but there's one guy that owns over half, so he's the considered
majority.
Key owner.
Okay, I get that. So they're all basically considered stakeholders in a team. I get that. They're all like investors. They're all like stakeholders. But,
Just use that with that. It's not like Mimi with a sex tape. Mimi got a sex tape. She sold her dignity as a woman. I think that was that was dishonorable. But to say that a guy that's playing in the Basketball Association can't come out and just take that wealth. These guys are getting $100 million plus shoe contracts. Some little guy, Damian Lillard, just got a $100 million shoe contract. We have got to stop letting this money come through our community and go right back to these other communities. When black women walk into these Korean-owned hair stores, do you think these Koreans really look at blacks as equals? No. But blacks, that doesn't stop them from coming and doing business with black people, and that doesn't stop black women from going in there and buying their hair. So, nobody likes any. Most of the time, there are people of every race that dislike every other race. It's just like that in the world. Everybody, except the only thing is blacks, we want to play kumbaya with people. We want to play kumbaya and expect, and then people playing the game with us. That dude laid it out. Look, man, I own them. I give them money. I give them shoes, houses, and clothes. Not that these guys worked hard to get where they are. He's saying, look, I write your checks, so I own them. That's basically what he said. We got to think like that, because he do. He playing the game. We ain't.
Filibuster.
I didn't know racism was a game.
It's not about racism. What he's saying is, I have the power.
Well, you can't. There ain't no way you
can. If it's black owners that can come out there, and they are, we got teams, we own 90% of the league, he would look like a fool. But the problem is, there's probably a lot of his friends that think the same way, and they're all out there. We got to come out and compete. Now, I remember when they had a lockout 2 years ago, and what's his name? The guy that played for the Knicks with the messed up knees. Amari Stoudemire was like, man, we ought to start our own league. I was like, why don't you? You got all y'all got the talent. Why don't you? You are the league.
Wait a minute.
They don't think like that.
Well, then if we start our own league, what would be the legacy of what's his name that got into baseball? My mind is blank right now. What would be the point of his legacy?
Jackie Robinson.
Yeah. What would be the point for us to start an all color league, start our own league now? What would be the point of his legacy?
I didn't say all color. I said a league with the basketball players, which are majority black. I didn't say that.
You don't think the NBA players are majority black?
Look, man, this is what I'm saying. I'm saying that power, wealth, and influence, we got all these dollars being thrown at us, and we're giving them to strip clubs, strippers, and other people, everybody, but we're not really empowering these brothers. And you come back like they had that special called broke. Well, most of these guys are broke after 4 and 5 years because a fool and his money shall soon depart. We need to start looking at economic infrastructure and start really trying to get these people to do something with their money. I'm just saying, these brothers are making all this money, and they were buying cars. I know a guy in my city played for the Wizards. I tried to talk to him when I was flipping houses. He didn't want to talk to me. He buying $100,000 chains and then walking around with money all in his pocket, pulling it out, showing it off. Now he about broke. Every city, I'm sure y'all got some in every city, but we know these guys made it to the NFL, made it to the league, and they went in the club showing off their little NFL card. Tavares Jackson, the backup for the Seattle Seahawks quarterback, he got in a fight in the club, pulling out his NFL card, showing it off to some with some drug dealer. We got to require more from these brothers.
I'm saying green eggs and ham because Ted Cruz ain't got nothing on Alabama. Alabama is filibuster after two words. I'm waiting for him to read the green eggs and ham.
Did I say something? I'm just talking about black. Look, man, look. I'm going to say this right here, and I'm going to shut up. It's been 20 years since they had voting rights in South Africa, right? Right now, every white family, 6 times in income what the average black family in South Africa makes. What difference does it make if you run the government, but they control all the wealth and resources? It don't make no difference. So when I start trying to talk like that, I get people disagreeing with me. I don't really see what the problem is. I mean, you know what? I stop trying to convince people, but I'm not trying to filibuster. I'm just saying, look, man, we need to play to beat these guys at their own game and understand and stop thinking we brag about what we got.
You're trying to filibuster Alabama, but you can't have a discussion with someone who only talks but yet fails to listen and allow someone else to engage in the discussion.
I listen. I can't even hear Govita, man. I heard the word filibuster in Alabama. I didn't hear nothing else. I can't hear nothing he ever say because I'm in the car driving to work.
That's all he really got to say before you started up again. You've been talking nonstop for about 7 minutes now.
Hold on, David. I know you ain't talking.
I may say what I gotta say, but I don't see.
You'll scream with the best of them.
But that's one thing. You talked this whole segment. Who else has really talked before Covina said green eggs and ham? No one.
Look at me, man. I'm gonna say right here. They had me muted. Blame it on Jeff, because Jeff's probably in the studio. Every time I call, Jeff mute me. I don't know what it is about me.
This is what
Jeff
you mute
me every day.
It ain't me.
You look, Diva. Now, you get very emotional and loud and overtalk folks all the time. They don't mute you all the time.
Yeah, they do.
I can hear everybody. Every time Jeff in the studio, I'm getting my mic muted.
Alabama, yeah, they do, especially in the beginning. I used to always get muted. But the thing is, Alabama, this is what you do. We haven't. Nobody else has really been able to put their thoughts or their opinion in through this whole break because you sat here and had a one-man conversation.
Well, I just listened. I'm listening to you. Are we not having a dialogue?
No. Well, even if we were to start, but even if we were to start having a dialogue, you would eventually take over. So it's like, what's the point?
Well, you know what? This is talk radio. This is the format. Hey.
No, the format.
That's
the
way it is.
Hold on.
This is the format. It is double dutch. Just jump in. It's just double dutch radio. That's what it is.
Double Dutch and jump in with you. It's very difficult.
It's not difficult, Diva, especially with that voice you got. Go feed a man. I feel sorry for you, dude, because I can't never hear you.
Hey, back. Can you listen to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600? It is 8 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock here
And it is today, the 28th of April. Oh, my goodness, the month is almost gone. So we came in like a that's March, in like a lion, out like a lamb. April showers bring May flowers. So the flowers are actually budding outside. And 2 weeks late, well, it might be 2 weeks late, but at least they're up.
Well, 2 weeks late.
It's like global warming.
Yeah. Tulips are showing up.
Has anybody cut their grass yet?
No, but mine's bad.
Both of my neighbors have cut theirs, and I'm not cutting mine yet out of protest.
Why are you
under protest?
Who are you protesting against?
Grass growing.
You got to get
once
that.
Once you start it, man, you can't quit. That's
you
got to
get that grass science.
Grassology.
Yes.
They say it's really wonderful, but they say it'll cost you a mint to grow.
Whatever.
Yeah, it's. 10 by 10 things like $50.
Yeah, to get to a yard, you have to
one way or another. You're gonna pay because you're gonna have to get the dog
gasoline.
On gas and
you know
and
maybe I wonder maybe I should do that, and if I can invest in that, and I can keep all the dandelions out my neighbor out my yard.
Well, dandelions are good to eat.
I know.
About? I love them.
I go to Ruley's
and
get them.
You can get
dandelions at Ruley's.
Oh, did you ever have them fried with scrambled eggs?
I don't eat eggs, but I saute mine in bacon.
Ooh, that's
with onions
too.
And garlic. Oh, it's a wonderful thing.
Take the root and dry.
You can't eat enough. You can't get enough dandelion greens. You got to mix them in with everything else.
What? No.
I get the salad mix, the spring mix.
No.
What I'd like is you pick the dandelions and just put the red wine vinegar on them, lots of salt. That's good, too.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
You got to try that. Oh, is that good?
It's really good.
So that's Italian. You're Italian, Tracy.
Ew.
I told you guys.
Yeah.
I do the little thin slices of cucumber and tomato. And put red wine vinegar or balsamic vinegar on there.
I don't like
pepper.
But you buy,
but I like
either
the,
one.
I
you
like
buy,
the
you
red
buy.
Wine.
I mean, I know you can go outside and pick them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's easy if you just go to. I want to know how Ruley's. Their dandelions as big as my head.
Yeah.
I don't understand how they got dandelions that big.
Mine don't grow. I let them grow.
You have to pick them before the flowers come up, though.
Because they'll get those little spines on.
Yeah, they'll get. Yeah, they're.
Well, those are the wrong kind.
Dig the root up, make dry it, make tea out of it.
No.
Have you ever done that?
Dandelion root tea?
I've never tried that.
We haven't dug it and dried it, but my wife does drink dandelion root tea. She gets it over in Canton.
Really? That sounds good. I'm going to try that.
It's what
help me grow?
It's a Dr. Danielle thing.
Yeah.
It has to help you grow.
It's good for your liver.
It's a detox.
It's a detox?
Well,
it's a detox.
Thing.
I didn't know I toxed.
Hey,
detox.
You better get your site changed here.
What?
Because it does not work with Mac stuff.
Yes,
the Flash
does.
Player. No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
Okay, then you make mine work then.
It'll work.
No. This is what your whole thing for today is. This is what your whole thing for today is. Is to get my Mac working.
If you didn't have joy like everybody else, you know, instead of being so high tech and got to have a Mac, you'd be all right.
I
ain't
got no joy.
Yes,
I got to have a Mac.
What?
Well, I was just...
Hey, the number's 347-945-5229. What?
The new hot economist from France wants to put an 80% tax on people. Thinks it'll grow the economy.
It's racism. It's racist.
You know, I was watching a documentary on the band Queen. Do you know what their taxes were?
Oh, they were like 90% or something.
No,
like
well, close. 87%.
Yeah. In England.
In England.
Well, I talked to a man, he said in 1976, I think it was, Jimmy Carter was in, he was paying almost 75% taxes.
Well, absolutely.
Corporate taxes. That's corporate here in the U.S.,
Yeah absolutely. We still have the highest corporate tax in the world.
75%?
No, we're down now.
I'm saying, but can you imagine paying three quarters on every dollar that you make? That's just highway robbery.
You get only a quarter back.
Huh?
Get 13.
But the problem with the adjustment thing, see, everybody says tax write-off. The only problem is they figure out what your tax rate is and then say your tax rate's like 30%. So if you have a $1,000 write-off, that only cuts your tax bill by $300.
No comment.
So,
I'm going back to
tax
the phone line.
Doesn't mean that much.
Yeah.
Hey, who's out there? Diva, what were you saying? Good morning. How you doing, darling?
I'm hanging in there. I don't know what I don't remember what I was saying. So Alabama got me off. But all I know is
six pack.
The conversation. I'm not even gonna lie. I was talking to my sweetie, and all I could think was, I wonder what he think about me.
That went through my mind.
You'll see.
That ran through my mind. I'm like, and I'm sitting up there and I'm like, I wonder, and it's just so, I laugh and I joke about it, but it really, because I was just so mad, and I'm mad about the dynamic of this
Why are you
mixed
mad?
Woman being with this racist
Why are you mad?
Man. Huh?
She ain't mad.
She's
I know she's
paid.
Not
she's
mad, but it just, it,
she's not mad.
I know
well, she's glad all the way to the bank.
I don't care, but it brings back in my
Diva.
Mind the dynamic between white people and black people and hidden racism.
It's not hidden.
Hey, Diva.
No, it is hidden to her.
Okay.
Because she's a black liberal.
Hold on,
they can't see it. They see only one thing. They see only what they were told to, and that is that the opposition to black liberalism is racist. Yeah, Republicans, and they're racist. They can't see it in their own counter. And that's where it's at. Because see, here it is. Tracy and I will tell you, we're active Republicans. We don't think that all Republicans are like us, and we don't think that all Republicans, are racist.
And I will say this, and there's some that like me but don't like you.
Absolutely.
And
yeah,
I know it, so it's
that.
Okay. See, if this is what I'm saying. It's all right when I know.
When I know.
The problem is, when I'm dumb enough to think
that
you
somebody
love
loves
everybody else.
That's the only point we've ever been trying to make. And
I find it quite astounding that you guys actually think that for me, I'm going to judge a person based off of what they show me, what they let known to me. If it's not known to me,
hold
I'm
on.
Not going to sit there and really look
Diva,
at you.
Diva,
oh,
Diva,
you're a Democrat.
Sweetie,
you
Diva,
got to be
Diva,
racist. I'm not going
Diva,
there.
Diva, you are in love with the Democrat Party. And when we
and
tell
you
something, no, because okay. I will come out and tell you. I'm a Republican because I believe in the foundational principles of the Republican Party. But when it comes to the people are people, and I judge every man independently, whether they be the candidate or whether they be people that I know around town. It is what it is. You don't tend to love anybody that got a little D by their name and vote for them, and if they're to endorse one, you think that they're really in love with you.
Even if he calls you buckwheat.
I hope you're saying you in generalization and not me as in Diva,
because
I don't know
because you're ready to vote for Hillary Clinton, and she's already said, I am a early first century progressive, and I'm
did
also
did you hear me say I was going to vote for Hillary
yes,
Clinton?
Yes, I did.
Oh, you didn't
yes,
ask
Diva.
Me that.
Many
when
times
did I ask
you
that?
Said,
that was
Hillary
before, Jeff, that was before she was dating her boyfriend. She might
no,
have
she was
not.
Dating him then.
Is he conservative?
She
when
little,
I first
no,
started
not,
speaking on this show,
no.
Yes, I was supporting Hillary Clinton. But lately,
now,
since she, just because I said
you.
She's going
but
to be the nominee,
hey,
does
hey,
mean
hey,
that
hey,
I
hey,
vote
Diva,
for
Tracy?
Diva,
wait a minute. If Hillary Clinton was in my bathroom, had diarrhea, and I was going to mess up my white carpet, guess who I wouldn't vote for no matter what? I wouldn't vote for Hillary Clinton no matter what because of who she is.
Let me say this, and we got to realize, you got to understand, it was her husband that said this ain't nothing but a fairy tale.
A few years ago, he'd have been getting us coffee.
Go ahead,
Hillary Clinton.
Hold on,
Colby. Steve, Hillary Clinton or Rand Paul, they're both running against each other. Which one do you vote for? Knowing what you know about Hillary Clinton's past and her progressivism and what that means.
Hillary Clinton, I can answer that. Hi, Colby, the man.
I was just going to interject. I think that you guys are both partially right here. You, Jeff, and Steve, they're partially. All right, you guys are not necessarily disagreeing, but what I'm going to say is I think that in some ways black Democrats, they tend to think that it's okay and they tend to have that Martin Luther King idea about, you know, we're going to overcome and everybody's going to be brothers and sisters in harmony and all the races going to get along, and they tend to have that idealistic viewpoint of America. That's why black people don't practice, like, black economics and stuff, because they believe that all people are people, and we're going to all get along. That's what we're supposed to strive for. That's that naivete that black people have that necessarily keeps them out of the loop, when every other group practice, I hate everybody except for my race. That's the way most people do. And black folks have this, I'm almost done, black folks have that naivete about there's going to be brotherhood, mankind, everybody here, one under Jesus.
Well, let me say this, and I want to take a 440 because I want to take a break in just a second, but I want to say this. We need black folk wake up. Why do you care if white people like you or not? Just be you and judge everybody by the content of their own character. Everybody's not going to like you, whether it be black or white. And I would rather I want to know that he's a racist, and I don't mind, and I may still go to a Clipper game if I choose to. But at least I know where my money's going to. There are people out there they're not going to like you. They're racist. They don't like you because you're fat. They don't like you because you're skinny. They don't like you because you're a brown fan. They don't like you because of a lot of things. And we're never going to have this kumbaya symbiotic utopia where everybody's just going to love everybody because we just love it. It's not going to happen. Go ahead, 440. You better love me.
You pretty much hit it right on the head. And I was going to say something about this guy, but I'm not going to go there. But
I'll go
you
there.
Hit it right on the head. I just don't want to. Not everybody's going to like you. I mean, I've been downtown, east side of Cleveland, giving out food and clothing. They did not like me because I was a white guy handing out food and clothing. They much rather have... the black community much rather had a black person handing it out to them. And
As long as you hand something out, we'll be in love with you.
No, the names that I've had been called me.
That goes with the territory.
Now listen, you know what? I don't really care. Why does everybody? Not everybody's going to love you or like you or whatever. I didn't care. Whatever. Just as long as your kids get it or whatever. If you want to call me a name, go for it. I don't care. I mean, I got white friends or friends, white enemies too. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, it's like the second or third grade. If Jimmy don't like me, I'm going to go home and tell my mom, you know what? Jeez, get over it. I'm sure that there's listeners out there right now say, I hate this white sucker. He just comes on this radio and shoots his mouth off, blah, blah, blah. And it's good. It's good. It's all right.
The thing is where 440 misses the whole point, and probably Tracy does too, is that when 440 is sitting on the jury and George Zimmerman then shot another black person and 440 is going to say, yeah, George, I hate them niggas too.
But listen, Colby and a man, let me tell you something. Hold on, Colby and a man. Colvina, you were wrong. You were wrong. And this is and then you also have to understand and most people in America are wrong about Zimmerman. He's not racist, he's crazy.
That's right.
They turn him into a racist based on popular opinion.
He hit a nail on the head right there. He hit the nail on the head because most of those jurors in that thing were white women, and the number one guy they fear that they think that won't they flat butt behind is a black man.
Listen.
Yes, I said it. I ain't trying to look. Hey, I don't even look at him like that. But they think somebody want him. They do. They say, oh, God, he's going to get loose and rape me.
Listen, man, there are some attitudes like that, there's no doubt about it. And then there's some fake attitudes like that on top of that. There's all kind of people to make up the world. But where you're wrong at is this. Counting on that all white people on a jury are going to feel the same way, and it's not so. And that's the
thing. It worked in Sanford, Florida, though, because they picked those women and the women –
Listen, the jury, it was the system had a racist root. You have to understand that.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill.
Did she go to break?
Hello? I don't know, but good point, Corina. Good point, man. I don't care what nobody say. That whole situation, they got them white women on there, and I knew then. I said, they got them. They got them called white women. They scared of
yeah,
white
like,
men.
Like
they
you
sweat.
Said, Alabama,
they
all you have to do is say, I was in fear for my life, and they're automatically going to get a reaction. Well, yeah, I would have been afraid, too. Look at them. Basically, because they are programmed to believe that they have to be afraid of black people, especially a black man. Especially
you know, when I turned the light on, that roach took a ran for the cover, right?
It is what it is,
my
man.
Thing is, I don't care about a person being racist. You have to care because if that one is in control of all the power, all the wealth, all the jobs. That's going to affect you as a person, especially when their racism turns into actions. So you can't sit here and say, I don't care that a person is racist, because in a way you do.
Diva, well, I'm in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, right? The wealth that I'm looking at, I'm in this shopping center. Everything out here is white on. I ride through the neighborhoods. Tuscaloosa's not no major city. I mean, you ought to see the homes these people got. Everybody around here. It's not that these people are just smarter. It's not that these people are just better than blacks. It's not. And if you study history, it tells you what really happened. But then when I say that, I hate to say it, people like South Carolina be like, who cares? I'm like, we care because that explains why we are where we are today.
Exactly. You can't say
now,
you.
Dude, am I saying that you need to be lazy and not get your work? And no. Am I saying you can't make it? No. But the overwhelming majority of us have been in a system that's set up like this, you have to admit that. You can't sit up here and just ignore all that.
Exactly. Now, you're 100% right, man. You can trace all that wealth and money to the systems that they set up to keep black people down and to give white people upper hand. When Alabama or Mississippi, some of the southern states, the way they get all their money is they take these federal government programs. They get the highway fund. They get all this whatever fund they get from the government. They don't pay no money in taxes. They just get all this money from the taxpayers, from people in California, people in New York City, people in Chicago. They pay all these taxes, and Alabama and Mississippi suck those taxes up, and they do these construction jobs, these rebuilding programs, and all those white folks get money, and black folks still in poverty.
If you look at the FHA when it first came out, housing and urban development, man, that's where the wealth went, because poor whites were able to get out into the suburbs.
Yeah.
Those were the better education systems. Poor blacks were denied these programs. This is factual. This is a fact.
You ain't lying.
That's why I
you
can't see
lying,
how
Alabama.
Anybody
you
is against
lying.
Reparations. I don't see how nobody can be against reparations. Like, this is a fact. It is a necessity, like Dr. Claus says. I don't see no... I mean, I just don't see it. I
but
really,
if you look at it, they got us brainwashed to be against stuff like reparations. They really did so, because I don't understand how black people could be against it when the Jews got what they got.
Well,
when
I hear black folks say, well, man, we ain't ready. We going to take it. I say, that's you. You stupid. You going to go out and get a stripper pregnant, and you going to go throw it all up in the strip club? That's you.
But we don't need
money,
though.
Law.
We don't really need
look,
money.
Look here.
No, I don't think reparations should come in the form of money because
Loans is what I'm saying. It could be a business or something where you can go out and fuck with
I think every African-American business owner should get a loan, and I think it should be structured in a way that it won't be very burdensome on them. I think we should be able to go to get higher education for free. I believe that I don't care what anybody says, we are entitled to some type of reparation. Our people have suffered, and not just during slavery, but after slavery, because when you look at what happened to Black Wall Street and other groups of wealthy African Americans and how they're wealthy.
Put an S on that, Black Wall Street, for the plural.
That's what I'm saying. All the every time black wealth started to accumulate, they stripped it from us, stole it from us in some form. And the only ones that could have it were the ones who assimilate more into white culture and go along with white culture. But if you speak about these things, oh, you're a reverse racist. Oh, you don't like white people, or you think all white people are bad. I don't think all white people are bad. I just have a problem with
White people today do. Most of them don't even know the history like what you just – they don't know what happened with housing, urban development, and FHA. They don't know all this stuff. They just
think, look around,
man,
you.
These guys are just lazy. They just don't want to go – they don't want to get their work.
Under FHA and HUD, and all the black people, the only HUD they got was in the projects. That's all you have to do is just look at that.
Go back and look at the census from 1890. You'd be amazed. Black folks were spread out all across this country. Now we're only in certain areas. That was done by design. That's by design. Because if not, we wouldn't have never left Vermont. We wouldn't have never left Montana. We would have stayed there.
What's wrong with minorities? What's wrong with black people?
Nothing. What's wrong with these
families? It's like talking to an enemy. There's nothing wrong with minorities. They're fabulous.
Fabulous.
Because you're an enemy to me.
Why?
Because you don't understand.
I don't understand what?
Nothing.
That racism still is alive?
No, but there's a culture.
What culture?
People steal certain things. Hispanics steal certain things towards blacks. Blacks steal certain things towards other groups. It's been that way historically, and it will always be that way.
But it's not that way in my heart and in my mind.
But maybe you want to adjust to the world.
But why? If the world doesn't do anything for me and they don't make me happy.
You're right. I don't want to argue with you. I don't want to argue.
I can't be racist in my heart.
And that's good. I'm living in a culture, and I have to live within the culture. So that's the way it is. That's how I got it. I got the whole message. You live with your heart.
I don't. You
can't be flexible. You can't.
I am flexible. I understand that. That's the way you were raised, and that's your culture. And I'm respectful.
Why do you have to disrespect them? Those that are.
Who am I disrespecting?
The world before you.
Why am I disrespecting them?
Well, what, by walking, and you're perceived as either a Latina or a white girl. Why should you be walking publicly with black people? Why? Is there a benefit to you?
Is it a benefit to me? Does it matter if they're white or blue or yellow?
I guess that you don't know that. Maybe you're stupid. Maybe you don't know what people think of you. It does matter, yeah. It matters.
Do you know that I'm mixed?
No, I don't know.
You know that I'm mixed.
You told me you were going to remove those. You said, yes, I understand you. I mean, you change from day to day. Wow. So painful. Wow.
People call you and tell you that I have black people on my Instagram, and it bothers you.
Yeah, it bothers me a lot that you want to broadcast that you're associating with black people. Do you have to?
You associate with black people.
I'm not you, and you're not me. You're supposed to be a delicate white or a delicate Latina girl.
I'm a mixed girl.
Okay. Well, but we
and you're in love with me. And I'm black and Mexican, whether you like it or not,
okay.
Whether the world accepts it or not. And you're asking me to remove something that's part of me and in my bloodstream because the world thinks different of me and you're afraid of what they're going to think because of your upbringing. You want me to have hate? Towards black people?
I don't want you to hate. That's what people do. They turn things around. I want you to love them privately in your whole life. Every day you could be with them. Every single day of your life.
But they're not in public?
But why publicize it on the Instagram and why bring it to my games?
Why bring the black people to the games?
I really don't want to discuss that anymore. It's over. I don't want to talk about it.
I'm sorry that you feel that way.
I feel that way so strongly, and it may even cause our relationship to just break apart. And if it does, it does. It's better to break apart now than to break apart later.
I'm sorry that you still have people around you that are full of racism and hate in their hearts. I'm sorry that you're still racist in your heart. I'm sorry that you live in a world that still...
How about your whole life? Every day, you could do whatever you want. You could sleep with them. You could bring them in. You could do whatever you want. The little I ask you is not to promote it on that and not to bring them to my games.
I don't bring anyone to the game.
Okay, then. There's nothing to argue about.
I know.
Okay, we got a big problem here. I really don't feel like going anywhere. I don't feel like going to Europe. I don't feel like just going to the whole thing. We gotta create.
you didn't like someone that I was with, I would stop seeing that person.
I'm sorry, I don't have any more friends. What would you like me to do? Remove the skin color out of my skin?
Is that a real issue, or are you making something up?
I mean, I just don't understand what the issue is.
There's nothing wrong with you or your skin color. Why are you saying these things? To upset me?
Okay. Sweetie, I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry, too. We made a giant mistake, both of us. Everything you say to me is so painful. Do I want you to change the color of your skin? You know how to really hurt somebody. And just instead of saying, I understand.
I don't understand how you can have so much hate towards minorities.
I don't have any hate. I love them.
I cannot understand.
Why would you say
how a person like you who's elevated, who's here, still feels above the world, and you can't even be seen with someone in which is considered of a different skin color.
They can be with me all day long and all night long.
I can't believe that a man who's educated, a man who's a scholar, a man who's...
Well, believe it and stop talking about it. Let's finish our discussion with a period, okay? You're not making any good points. You can't believe this man. That's all I am. I'm not a good person in your eyes. If I was a good person, you would say, I can't believe this. I can't believe that.
What am I
saying? You're all lies. I love this.
Look at all this negativity coming from
me. There's no negativity. I love everybody. I'm just saying, in your lousy Instagram, you don't have to have yourself with walking with black people. You don't have to. If you want to, do it.
If it's white people, it's okay? If it was Larry Bird, would it have made a difference?
You're just a big fighter. I could see. Who would want to live with a woman like you? Who would want to live with a woman? All you ever wanted to do was fight. You're a born fighter.
I'm sorry that you're mad.
You're in the worst mouth.
Why are you so angry, honey? What's wrong?
Well, why would you bring up Larry Bird? What has he got to do with it? You can walk all night long with your sisters or your family.
I saw someone I admire. I admire Magic Johnson.
Okay, good.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
He's made a lot of changes for his community, for the world, for the people, for the minorities. He's helped a lot of people.
Why are you forcing this down my throat? I'm finished talking to you. I have nothing more to say.
And I took a picture with someone I admire.
Good.
And he happens to be black, and I'm sorry.
I think it's nice that you admire him. I know him well, and he should be admired. And I'm just saying that it's too bad you can't admire him privately. And during your entire life, your whole life, admire him. Bring him here. Feed him. F*** him. I don't care. You can do anything. But don't put him on an Instagram so the world has to see, so they have to call me. And don't bring him into my games, okay?
I don't know him personally.
Please leave me alone. Please, please.
I'm sorry. Is there anything that I can do to make you feel better?
No, you could never make me feel better. You're just a fighter and you want to fight.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I wanted to play the whole clip in its entirety so that we would have a real reference point of what the conversation is about, because television is not going to give you the whole 9 minutes.
No.
It'll give you the clip of it. And so
Tracy,
you're gonna,
that wasn't the whole thing, Tracy. That wasn't the whole thing. That's a part. That's a part where he's talking about how he gives them their houses and cars, and they, if it wasn't for the owners, there would be no league. Yeah.
But that,
well, but it's true.
But that's no, it's not. I mean, they're his employees. But that is a billionaire progressive mindset, and it doesn't matter if his employees are black, white, or purple. That's what those people think. That's how those people think.
Well, he didn't mind her.
Wait a minute.
He didn't mind Latinos or any other people. He had a problem with her being with black people. socialize with black people in public. He didn't mind any other color, any other race. It was black people.
Hold on, wait a minute. Hey, Tracy.
Hey, hold on, Pianki. There is also a photo out there of his daughter with a bunch of black boys. So there's a lot going on here. There's a lot going on. And then,
I just want to know when I can get my picture with Magic Johnson.
Me too.
I mean, I'm white, but I want one with his wife.
I don't have one with Magic.
I want one with Magic. I'd Instagram that all over the place.
I know Magic Johnson.
I'd be proud of that fact.
We didn't have Instagram when we took pictures.
Yeah, but
He made some comments about black Jews in Israel. That's a progressive mindset. That comment was true.
Guys. Listen, there's a lot on the line. Alabama, your mic is real fuzzy. We got to make sure that we do this one at a time. I just thought that there was a lot to that conversation.
It was heavy. I see a lost old man desperately trying to force his young mixed race girlfriend into being a young white woman. In America, and she's not buying it, and he's just freaking because he doesn't know what to do.
She played into that. They've been dating. I'm going to call her girlfriend. She's a mistress because he married. She's been his mistress for how long? She didn't just up in his life in the past couple of months or days. She's been a part of his life for a while now.
But guess what? Now you got a problem with it. Because she took a picture with Magic Johnson and she put it out on Instagram and put it out on Facebook and it got around. And I guess one of his friends, it looks as though somebody may have called him on it because he says all my friends to see.
Yeah.
So somebody called him on his girlfriend hugging up with Magic Johnson, knowing that she's a gold digger. You gotta understand.
Right.
This is about money. This is about
possession.
And this is about a whole lot. And then she went out and publicized her being it with Magic Johnson. And they know that she's digging for cash.
But
I
Tracy,
ain't saying she's a gold digger.
She's a little broke.
No.
But Tracy and Jeff, just look how this has been ballistics accusing this man of being a racist. Now there's other tapes out there that says he approves of her having sex with black men. Well, that don't sound like no racist to me. And what about when Madonna called her child the N-word? Nobody is talking about throwing her records away and not giving her a Grammy and so on and so on and so on.
Well, let me say it this way: I keep on going back to this. People can feel like they feel. When you look at who he is, what he's about, there's a lot. I think Styx and Jeff were in the break talking about it was testosterone running here, Mandingo era,
he ain't got no
generational
testosterone.
But you have to look at his history because this man has had two discrimination lawsuits filed against him. He settled the largest housing discrimination lawsuit. His own housing manager said that when he bought that one housing complex, he said that the building stinks, and it must stink because of all the black people that live here.
But Diva, they're not clean.
But Diva, he's 81 years old.
I don't care how old he is. Right is wrong. I don't care what age he is.
No, Diva.
I had two discrimination things received on me, too.
Pianki, wait a minute.
I had an older friend that's passed on now, and he swore up and down that black people smelled different.
Well, you can tell y'all this, but black people say white people smell different, too, especially when they wet. So we're going to keep this real.
So
that's right. They say they smell like wet chickens.
I mean, I'm just going to keep people say some things that are foul on both sides
right,
of the fence.
Absolutely.
No pun intended.
It was how he treated, how he discriminated and not trying to rent to African-Americans,
Diva.
Not trying to rent to Hispanics, and how he treated his Hispanic and African-American tenants. It's not just in the context of this one incident.
But Diva, we know that he has a history. The question
okay,
is,
so don't say and come on and say,
so
well,
the question
because
is,
it is innocent,
not,
it's a racist.
Diva, no matter if I say it out loud or I don't, just because I don't say it does not make me a non-racist.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't get
what
the point you're trying to make.
What he's wrong in how he thinks. He's wrong in what he does. But guess what? The majority of people out there are absolutely wrong.
Tracy, let me give you a modern
listen,
day
Diva, I know. I can show you a lease agreement that was that of a something that's owned by blacks where they say no whites allowed.
Well, you show me that
and
lease agreement. And
Bianchi don't know it's 2014. I don't know what year he thinks he's in.
He's been unmuted.
And it's not 2000. It was 2007, Alabama.
Bianchi, both of you, when my father, you see that house on Facebook. When my father bought that house in 1977, all the neighbors around him had a little contract saying they would not sell to any black people. Now,
absolutely.
The guy that was in the house was dying of emphysema and had to leave and go to Florida or wherever he was going quickly, and he sold anyway, and they were pissed. And they tried to buy the contract out from under my father. Okay, so here's the point. Here's the point. That's only 1978, 77.
Jeff, I moved back here in 1994.
Yeah, but
and from 1994, I've been called a coon.
Oh, my goodness.
I didn't. Somebody even told me that was a little bit too deep reading for me. Yeah. They didn't told. I'm serious. And then, and we're talking about
Democrats. I tell you what.
Oh yeah.
I tell you what, and I'm not. You know, and I'm just telling the truth. You look at some of these black neighborhoods. What is it? What is the fixation with black kids that they have over a solid plate glass window that they got to throw at it? Is it laughing at them? The happy face? What is it?
Yes, Al.
Yes, listen. Has anybody taken the time to look at the picture that she took of Magic Johnson? Look at the picture. Look how she's all up on the man and got them googly eyes on. This is why the man is mad.
No, that ain't. Because like
yes,
she said, if it was Larry Bird, would that have made a difference? He sidestepped that question. So it wasn't.
And what do you think Self just said?
What
did Larry Bird say?
Her being hung up on this wrong white, this wrong black
that's
man.
What said. That's what he just said. That's
and nobody
exactly
accused Larry
said.
Bird. Nobody accused Larry Bird of being a racist when he said he thought that whites need to have their own heroes. Nobody accused Ted Stevens of racism on the who owned the what's the name Denver Nuggets I think it was no Cavaliers.
Cavaliers.
When the remarks that he made.
There's a difference between somebody making some ignorant statements.
Diva.
And
no, it ain't.
Someone being a racist.
No, it ain't.
Heart.
No, it ain't. Diva.
Yes, sir.
I'm all the same.
Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And if you really want to know, you watch what people say. And when they say what they do and they do what they do, you know what they are. Now, I see them on all sides. I don't care because I know what they do to you. And I don't want that done to me, and I don't want it done to people that don't deserve that done. And see, so therefore, another talk show host from in the valley here asked me, well, why do you want to still, you know, do stuff? If I could get off the air now, I'd be gone. You just realize. I said, well, my life is about more than just me. I said, you know, my life is about everything. About
Tracy, a question. I want to ask you.
Hold on, Covina. Did you finish your thought?
I'm finished enough. I'm not done.
Wait, listen, Covina, man. Listen, I don't care. I done told you. I'm not going to play. You cannot talk on top of people. This is not Blog Talk Radio. Go ahead. Let them get it out. Because if you don't let them get it out, and you keep on talking and you hear somebody else talking, no one else can hear you or them. Now go ahead. He dropped. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Mm. I just can't do that. Ain't nothing personal.
Yeah.
But this
man, I tell you,
there are ignorant people out there everywhere. Yep, Yankee.
Yeah, and if you I stand still long enough in one spot, sooner or later we'll be called racist too.
Listen. All of this stuff exists still today. Nobody is trying to say it doesn't exist. But in the parameters that you think it exists, you are dead wrong in a lot of senses. Not you, Bianchi. I'm saying people in particular. Because they don't understand what the dynamics of racism really is. Now, this is an old man. He's a rich guy. And yeah, he's wrong for discriminating. But he believes what he is saying. I mean, how he's acting. He believes it. He believes that the black people are a certain way, just like Clive Bundy believed that black folks, you know, most of the black folks in the country live in housing a certain way, and six of them standing out on the porch not doing nothing. Well, that's a culture. There's no doubt about it. But who created that culture, and why, and how? Okay,
yeah,
how about Lyndon Baines Johnson? How about him creating a culture where the woman can't have a man in the house, but she can have her kids in that house?
But then the babies come by, I'll smoke because the stork brings
them. Yeah,
don't worry about it.
Stork brings them.
Stork brings
them. And you pay for bad behavior over and over and over again, and they say, you know what, this is not a bad idea because we got them folks voting for us. And so just like, hey, this is what I was going to say. This is
the new quote.
The owner says, you know, I might lose the team, but I mean, I might lose the apartment building, but them niggas will come to the game and
but
buy my stuff for the next 200 years.
Let me say this, and real talk. Let me say this. This conversation is really crazy.
Mm-hmm.
For the simple fact that we are dependent and we are charged emotionally by what one man says. Who cares? And the only reason why we care is because he's got more than you have.
Well, I think the more important issue is, I mean, you've got a progressive movement, which is an anti-black financial movement.
Absolutely.
Okay? And yet you've got black people claiming to be progressives.
Absolutely, again.
Okay? I think that's what's important here, and that's what we should be focusing on.
Okay, go say that again.
I mean, that's cool.
No, I think is the real issue here.
Just think about it. What press coverage did Al Sharpton get when he made the comment about white people being in caves when we were building pyramids and things such as that? You know, I mean, that to me was more inflammatory. I mean, come on.
That was before the mafia visited.
Yeah, this is one man. He may own a basketball team, and he may have a certain amount of influence in his little world, but he was in a conversation with his quote-unquote girlfriend, a woman that he is twice her age. I'm probably, I don't know what the dynamics of their relationship is, but that's what he's doing, and that's what she's doing. But he was making it clear to her that what he did not want to do. And when you do that, and when the woman puts herself in that situation, she makes herself a slave to that man. So he was just wanting her to comply with his wishes. And that's all.
Not only that, according to the law, what she done was illegal anyway. She could be prosecuted under that because in the
California,
state that they're in, both people supposed to know, parties supposed to know about the recording.
No. Wait a minute. He knew. Somebody said
yeah,
earlier.
I heard that this morning that he asked her to record their conversations because he was starting to forget stuff.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very serious.
Yeah. I mean, you got to realize
there's supposed to be a couple of hundred hours of those tapes.
Oh my gosh.
The man is 80 years old.
And you gotta understand salinity and you know senility. It all that's coming together. He's coming, you know, all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he wasn't
looking.
That salty.
He's salty.
Yeah.
He's salty. It's all coming together.
Salty dog, I guess.
Yeah, all the salty dog.
and it's not helping. It didn't work to his behalf. But let me ask you this: How are you going to reprimand an 80-year-old who's getting ready? He's got one foot on the
grave,
one foot on the banner. How are you going? What are you going to do?
Make him look like
his
wife's voting teeth running out.
His wife,
and you know about him.
Is the wife about his girlfriend for alienation of affection?
She's already suing him.
She's suing her for embezzlement. But I don't understand how you embezzle gifts that was given. I don't get that one.
In the state of South Carolina, if someone tells you to record me because I'm starting to lose things, that is an admission of dementia or senility, and therefore you are being taken advantage of a vulnerable adult. So, yes, even though he's a millionaire, he could be declared that way by the court.
But he wasn't declared while she was receiving the gifts. So, therefore, it's not embezzled.
Oh,
Hold on. Can I say this? Hold on, because I want to let Pianki in. But listen to this. You have to realize his wife is doing almost the same thing as Anna Nicole Smith's son did.
Yeah.
Remember, they're trying to say that because of his age and because of his mind, this girl is taking advantage of him. That's what this is circling around to. Remember
not understanding,
that.
They don't understand that these old men, they just want a little bit of spice in their life, and they're going to pay for that spice. I mean, he's going to have to pay to have a 29, 30 something on his arm. He's going to have to pay for that. And you're mad
because she's getting it, but she knows what she's doing. Didn't you see every time he said something, she came back with honey?
Exactly. I'm sorry.
Do you understand what she's... If you listen to that conversation, she's playing into and still trying to embrace him while she's having this conversation. It's a calm, cool conversation. She's not cursing. She's just letting it go, and he's telling her how she feels about black people and erasing the black off of her. This is a conversation between two people over coffee. MSAA.
Yeah, there ain't nothing wrong with that. You know, and the comment he made about black people smelling different is very, very innocent. Back during this time, blacks did not wear Old Spice and was not putting Vitalis in their hair. So they would smell different.
That was 2005. This was not back in the 60s or whatever. This was 2005 this incident happened.
But Diva,
but you're talking to an 81-year-old man.
Diva, you got to hold up. I don't want to be ever disingenuous about what people say.
Right. Thank you.
And I don't want everybody to think that they say black people. Now listen, at one time they used to tell white girls that black men had tails.
Some white people have tails too.
That's what I'm saying. So, and if
you
listen to black people,
babies are born with tails still.
And we'll all say this. I think Pianki said that black folks say white folks smell like chickens. People have said some stuff on both sides of the equation that's not very kind and or could be considered, if not racist, very ignorant. So don't think that just because some people say some stuff that we ain't sitting in our kitchen tables here.
I'm glad you told me that, because if I'm ever stranded with a bunch of black people, I know I'm dinner.
Absolutely. No, we're not. We don't.
That was on
Rudy.
That was on the movie.
Hold on. Hold on, Diva. MSHAH, 2001. Your mic is on.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good. How are you this morning?
Pretty good. I'm calling from Houston, Texas. I'm just chiming in on a conversation. I agree with you, Tracy, to a degree. This conversation really is, I wouldn't say silly, but it's interesting. It's at the end of the day, we're going to realize this is almost a waste of time. You know, it's just, futile wondering in the mind, really, because the NBA is going to do what it's going to do. There's probably a lot of owners in the NBA that have certain, ideas and concepts. These guys are getting paid a lot of money. They're making a lot of money. And so they have economic potential. They want to influence their owner to make some changes. I think they can. I'm not really sure he should sell his team or he should be forced to sell his team. But I think to a degree, it just brings out, again, that we still have a lot more sitting down to do. People have to sit down and do and kind of and really get a lot of stuff out of their system, because just like slavery, the after psychological effects of slavery, white people got psychological problems too, just like black people. The fact that you were made a slave and only you know, maybe 45 years ago. Most people forget, up until about 1970, there was really no mass integration. So you're only talking about 44 years. And so you're talking about a long time, and you're trying to compress a lot of things in 44 years that were not done in maybe 350 years. So it's going to be psychological impact on both sides of the fence. So there's a lot of healing, I think, that has to be done in America before people can really kind of, like you say, these concepts about white people or hidden concepts about black people, they can finally work those things out, hopefully over the next few generations. But I have a question I want to ask you guys. I keep hearing this concept, this talk about progressive. I want somebody to explain to me what's the difference between a progressive politician, is that what I heard, and then black people are buying into the progressive politician? And
yes.
And, well, I want to hear somebody, and what's a non-progressive, what's the difference between the two in terms of the thinking?
Well, the progressives are a worldwide organization of elitist people throughout the world, and they have several main goals. One of the main goals, of course, is one world government. You have progressives on two different sides. You have a liberal progressive, which you find in the Democrat Party, and you have a conservative progressive, which you find in the Republican Party. And their situation, well, real quick, they're going to go, oh, if we got to go ahead and break it. And I'll explain the rest of it after the break.
Yeah, I've got to take a break. You're
real
listening
quick,
to Christian Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-529. We'll be right back.
Yeah, that was a good analogy, Jeff. You're absolutely right about them progressives. Because he can't hear me.
Well, in that case, the United States of America has been progressive for quite a bit of time.
The way he'll tell it is, it's not the ideal of progressivism that is the problem. It's the mindset of the people behind it that's the problem.
They want a one-world government. They want a one-world religion. They want no racial designation. No ethnic group designations. And you see them, you see their works going on around the world in the imperialistic attitude of the military. So, yes, it is the so-called progressive elements within the think tanks of the United States and other countries, too, in the NATO.
So now who's the non-progressives?
People that want things to stay the same. And they want things to be stay the same as far as, in other words, they don't want GMO corn, GMO foods. They think that they don't want, they want local control over their school system. They want to control the economy in their communities rather than open it up to foreigners and everybody else. You got the governor of Michigan saying that he wants to provide certain things for immigrants to come in and start businesses in Detroit. That's progressive thinking. People like Claude Anderson say blacks should put things in place to control their own economy.
Well, I think that's a lot. I mean, I think a lot of international situations here, you're talking about immigrants in terms of infusion of money. I guess the politicians in these areas want to revitalize the dead situations or their failing situations. But I don't see anything wrong with international agreements, international dealings that may help particular areas in America that are failing, because if the government there will not do it themselves, in other words, if I'm trying to start a business, if I got some ideas or a group of people, maybe it's more than just one group. There could be tens or twenties of groups that have good ideas, but the banks won't lend me money, or if financial institutions won't work with me, I don't have a problem with going outside and saying, okay, hey, in exchange for you giving me some income support, then I'll give you whatever so that I can revitalize my own.
Well, why come they giving E5 status to immigrants then?
Well, again,
I'm not debating.
I'm saying a lot of that seems to be a lot of – there's a lot of tit for tat here, like you same thing you do with bills in Congress that are passed. If you vote for this, I'll vote for that, but I want to attach this little –
Tea Party is the opposite of progressive. They say that a bill should contain no unrelated legislation, which is a good thing.
Tea Party is the antithesis of progressivism, and it's on the far side, and it's not. They have no leg to stand on. But my thing is this.
Well, they do have a leg to stand on. Let me give you an example.
You
want to
sit here and have a problem with immigrants getting status or whatever. Imagine if prior to you had the Irish immigrating here, Polish, Italian. Imagine if they closed off the borders to all those people. How many people would it really exist in America?
Well, in Italy, they closed the borders off in their country.
Okay, that's Italy. And how big is Italy?
Well, they all do. France does it. UK does it. When their people become unemployed,
just one type of people.
Diva, would you listen? That's one of your problems. You don't listen. When their people become unemployed, they start expelling the immigrants. America done the same thing with Mexicans back in the 1940s, even with Mexican cities.
And we're going to expel a whole lot of people. Because just about everybody here, other than black folks, is immigrant.
Here's the problem you're running into, okay? All right? We don't have any problem with any people immigrating to this country. And that is the lie that the left tries to tell. We have a problem when they come here illegally and try to gain status that way. If you come through the legal channel, come on, we welcome you. But if you're going to come here and you're going to try and take advantage of us, and you're going to try and slip through the crack and do it that way, then we got a big problem with you.
So even if they came here, say they came here legally, we made it easier for them to become citizens or get a green card or whatever. And they came here in mass.
Is it not true that public opinion persuades not only legislation, but it also persuades court decisions? Just like you got in Michigan, when the state of Michigan voted not to approve of any more race-based admissions in their higher education system. That's public opinion. So when you start bringing in more immigrants who are not sensitive to civil rights and not sensitive to the Constitution, you're going to see those sort of propositions coming down.
So are you saying that Mexicans in general are not sensitive to the Bill of Rights, are not sensitive to the Constitution?
Mexicans coming from Mexico, no, they're not.
Not. Exactly, Diva. No, they're not.
Yeah, but
they don't know the Constitution. They have no concept. They have no concept of what our Constitution is.
It's people in America that are not sensitive to the Constitution. Again,
but they're not wanting to become Mexicans.
I agree.
Exactly.
The immigration situation. I agree. I mean, you know, they should come through legal channels. What I'm saying is I see in this anti, and I'm not whether progressive or anti-progressive. I'm sitting there.
Let me tell you something, young man, mister. Real quick, because we're getting ready to go back. Go in Texas where Laredo is 97% Mexican, and you got several other cities. I mean, it's like 20 of them that's over 90%. They don't hire black people. They hire their own.
So your problem is they shouldn't exist there because they don't hire black people?
No, I don't have no problem with it. But
so
I'm just telling you how it is.
Bringing it up.
What I'm saying is this. First of all, I live in Texas, where Houston is predominantly Hispanic now. I've been to Laredo, Corpus Christi, Austin, Dallas. I've lived in those cities. Everything you're saying, I've seen. They don't hire black people. I'm not against. They don't hire anybody. They don't hire white people either. I'm not against having the immigration status put in check, where they have to go through the proper channels. They become U.S. citizens. They should become U.S. citizens. They plan on staying. I agree with it. No illegal immigration. I'm all for that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying is I see we need to be careful because I see people using their own personal agenda as a part of some kind of progressive movement when, in fact, they care nothing about the future of America. They only really care about their own little – their own fantasy of what America should be like. They don't.
But
really,
that's not – hold on, sir, but that's not the progressive movement.
It's
a winning push. That's conservative movement.
In our discussion today, we'd like to focus on science and the public, focus on roadblocks to science education, and maybe some solutions that our distinguished panelists can suggest for overcoming those roadblocks. But first, let's ask a question I think all of us are already on the same page about, but we're anticipating that these discussions will reach a much wider audience. Let's begin with the question, why science? When Annie was on Point of Inquiry, it should be said that all the panelists have been on the radio show, the podcast. She seemed to have the audacity to suggest that science was for everyone. So the question is, why should someone in our society be into science? Does the public really need to understand the methods of science, the body of knowledge that we call science, in order to kind of be good citizens? How does that cash out? So let's begin with Andrea.
Thank you. Thank you, DJ. Well, a couple of thoughts come to mind. One, I want to address something that was said by the earlier panel, which did such a great job and was so stimulating and winning. But when Mindy Kaminer asked about how, you know, science isn't for everyone because we don't all have that predisposition or that aptitude to grasp some of these ideas, the immediate impression being that that is really our job. It's to reach the widest possible public. This is a great legacy of Carl Sagan, who wouldn't write any mind off, and who, as we all know, took a huge amount of abuse from the scientific community for doing so. He was absolutely committed to reaching out, to speaking and writing in crystalline, clear words, never resorting to jargon or to mystification, because for my money, science is the greatest engine of demystification the world has ever seen. And that's its greatness. And I do believe in science. With my whole... I'm so sorry, I'm so froggy. I do believe in science completely. I believe in not any one of its particular insights or in its ability to find absolute truth, but I believe in the methodology, in its methodology, which is this error-correcting mechanism, relentless, unflinching, and it's, to me, a kind of spiritual constitution, which is another...
In the previous panel, economic benefits for society when we learn science, that's obvious, but is that the only reason why scientists wring their hands about scientific...
I'm sorry about that. I thought it was queued up.
What are some of the other...
And you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600.
Okay, what the heck was that?
We call science, I think, might be mislabeled. If you call it science, then people get to say, oh, that's science, I'm going to do something else. Maybe we should recall the enterprise of science reality, okay? I say this not just to get an applause, but...
I'm sorry. I have to go back and cue this up again. I must have hit it. This guy is, his name is Neil Tyson, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Uh-huh. Science guy.
Science guy. And he talks about race and racism. And I don't agree with all of his views and everything, but I have to say when he talks about race and racism from his perspective and from his ideology and from his experience, it really made a lot of sense to me, and I wanted to cue it up because he could not everybody can put everything in words, but he did a very, very good job of doing so. So I'm sorry about that, and I'm sorry that I wasted, you know, 5 minutes of your time trying to get there.
But
now
you know
about science. Yeah.
Here we got NBA players wearing black socks showing their unity because of the things that Sterling said. But just about 3 weeks ago, the big discussion was the N-word, how it's used on the court during the games. Barkley is talking about it. Isaiah Thomason is talking about it. And they say, well, that's a different arena. That's a battlefield. They should be allowed to express their moments however they want. Do you see the hypocrisy in all of this, Tracy?
Yeah,
this conversation is useless.
Oh, you know that. I agree with that. Because you know why? At the end of the day, you're not going to hurt this man, and you're not going to make systemic change. You're not going to do what it takes necessary. And protesting is great. But if you don't have a plan with your protest, all you're going to do is waste some time. The same, they went down to the Gen of Six. They went down to the Martin. And instead of coming back and saying, you know what, we found out that Zimmer wasn't racist, he was crazy. But the institution of how it was handled was racist. Because if you look at Zimmerman, it wasn't Zimmerman that was racist. The problem was the police department, when he came and said, this is what happened, they took his word at it instead of investigating it to find out what happened.
That's not true. They had investigated it, and they found that to be not a problem because of the
I'm
telling you, because we called it almost down to what it came out to be.
When the police came, when the 911 came, and when this went through, when the police came out there, they sent him home as a castle. He was a victim. They didn't investigate it anymore.
Self-defense,
and it was over. They did not look anywhere else. They did not go anywhere else. And the man was sitting home in his kitchen when the noise started, and they came back and got him. It was over.
Understood, and it ended up being that same way. That was racist.
But again, the investigation is how you build the case. And if you do not investigate something, looking at it at a 365-degree view so that you understand whether it was homicide, whether it was victim, or whether it was manslaughter, and you just take the live person's view of it.
Yeah, and two, when Houston, I want to get back to him later as soon as you get back with this.
But I just want you to know this is where the problem lies. And when we actually get when we actually go in there and we say, well, it was self-defense, and they say, okay, with self-defense, let me take you home, boy, man, I'm glad you're alive. And we don't look at the dead person's view because he's black.
He can't talk.
He can't talk. So, yes, the reason why he didn't get convicted of anything else is because the investigation showed. Because they didn't investigate anything else. They didn't look for anything else.
But, Tracy, the thing I don't understand with the George Zimmerman ticket, as soon as the 911 call was done, in my eyes, and I think in any American eyes, he should have been found guilty. If 911 call is telling you stay in the car, don't move.
Stanley, I don't want to rehash the Zimmerman. I'm just saying it's all racist on Zimmerman's part and not the racist on how it was handled. Because remember, if you don't like a law, just like they did in Arizona with the gay rights, if you don't like a law that was going to happen though, you couldn't serve people. They stopped it before it became a law. We need to become proactive. We look at the young Zimmerman and shooting Trayvon Martin, but we don't look at all the young black men that die in the streets every day from gun violence. Again, it's very, very disingenuous. So right now they're going to actually protest, and they're going to march on the Clippers. But it's not going to hurt and change anything unless we change our own methodology and paradigm.
Blacks in America is becoming a joke.
But I just want to say, I understand.
Hold on, Diva. Jeff has to do an explanation to Houston.
But I wanted
to get that out in the beginning because we need to understand if it's not going to change anything, if it's not going to do anything, and all you're going to do is make him sell a team and make some money off the team that he sells, then he's not going to give it away to the NAACP.
That is absolutely true. Houston, are you still there?
Yeah, he's there.
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, real quick before we go back to the progressives is a ideology. The president is a progressive. The Bushes are progressives on the other side. And you have to understand that they both have somewhat the same goal. They want to reduce the population of the world. That's why you have the progressives championing abortion, championing
championing euthanasia. Certain things, euthanasia, et cetera, marijuana. Healthcare, marijuana, because
same-sex marriage,
gun control, because they need you not to have guns for when they come in and take you over. Now, the progressives, you can see who they are. You have a one person that is very visible and has 19 organizations in the United States, MoveOn.org, several other organizations. His name is Mr. George Soros. He is the face of the progressives. The progressives want to whittle down the world population to 500 million people. And they are elitist, and they believe in one thing. They believe in control, period. Whether it's going to be by a United Nations-led organization or a United States-led coalition, if I was going to have to choose one, I'd choose the one that are the conservatives, because they want a United States-led coalition to run the world, which means that at least we'd be able to keep, you know, some sovereignty here and keep some power. But under the other, you don't have any, and you're not going to have it. George Soros has spent down everybody. He is the money behind Barack Obama. He is the money behind people like Chris Christie. He is the money behind a whole lot of other people. And they have one goal in mind, and that is taking your sovereignty as a United States citizen and at the same time running the world through the same thing.
Yes, they have Georgia rule.
One at a time. Hold up. Houston, do you want to respond to him before we go to someone else?
Yeah.
Or ask a question?
Yes. The only thing I have, the comment I can say on it, is that it seems to me that the United States have been progressive for a long time, whether based on what you're giving me, whether it's Republican or Democrat. And the fact that I will be a Republican, because I feel like once they solidify all of their authority over the world, as you're saying, at least we'll be able to have, you know, something over here for us. Well, how do you know that? You don't know once they solidify everything, how do you know they're going to turn on their own people?
I'm not for either side. Listen, I'm not for either side. I don't know any of it. But my point is this. I'm trying to tell you who most people are supporting at this particular time is supporting their own personal demise. Period.
On both sides. Go ahead, Ben.
2 points. If you really want to know what the progressives are about, there's the Georgia Guidestones. You can look those up. They've got, I think, 12 points on them or 20 points on them, and it tells you exactly what they want for the world. And the other point, I forget.
but we have them on both sides, and Ben and I have been very vocal about.
Oh, Margaret Sanger.
Let me
say this.
Wow.
And it is going forward. Hold on. No, Rand Paul is not a progressive.
No.
Why?
No,
he's a libertarian. Not a progressive.
He's a libertarian.
Because he's a libertarian. He believes in complete freedom.
Not complete freedom.
Almost. Okay, non-complete freedom.
A free market society.
A free market society.
That's what he believes in.
And yeah. minimal laws, rules, and regulations.
Smaller government.
But
libertarians are not anarchists.
But let me say this.
Well, they are tree huggers.
they are?
Yeah, they're peace loving. They don't believe. They're doves.
No, they're not tree huggers.
Thanks, Diva. I don't think so.
No, they have
two.
They're not tree huggers.
But let me. Did he answer your question? Because you have to understand, there are progressives on both sides. The problem is Americans as a whole. Hold on, Stanley. Americans as a whole don't realize that they're being played as pawns in a game that's trying to bring separatism as well as a new world order, and they're playing into it without being an active participant.
Right.
They don't.
Aware.
It's okay.
It seems like to me we're already in a new world order. I think you guys
We are. But the question is, we keep on voting for a direction, and we don't even know that they're voting for the direction that we're going in. That's the problem. The problem is you're going somewhere, you just don't know where you're going, and you're letting them lead you, and you're giving them gasoline to get you there.
This really started with Teddy Roosevelt. You're looking at the end of 100 plus years of moving this aircraft carrier we call the United States from libertarianism or freedom into a government top-down society.
Right. And America's been voting and been ignorant because America's been dumbing themselves down every year, every cycle, every season going forward. And it's before then. It's waiting for this. It's been going on for years.
People don't understand Teddy Roosevelt and Woodrow Wilson, or Teddy Roosevelt's campaign was funded by
the progressives.
By the banker.
Rockefeller?
No.
Mellon.
J.P. Morgan. By J.P. Morgan.
The bankers fund everybody.
No, you have to understand what happened. Didn't want to give them the Federal Reserve. So J.P. Morgan funded Teddy Roosevelt's campaign in order to split the vote because he knew Wilson, and if Roosevelt would happen to win, they were both progressives. In fact, Roosevelt's party was the Progressive Party. Would give him the Federal Reserve.
And you got to understand, even when you go into, if you want to go into modern history, if you go back to Kissinger, when they actually changed the gold standard.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
You see it shift right there.
And you created OPEC.
That's where there you go. And so it began. And so when President Barack Obama got in office and Kissinger sat on the stock exchange floor on Wall Street, and he said, "This is the man who will help bring in a new world order."
Our best chance.
So
of getting
you have to understand, it's been a plan. When you look at the Bilderbergers and you look at the CFRs. And the Trilateral Commission, you know, we think of these people as woo, but they're not. There is an organization, the World Bank. What's it called? The United Nations. They're all playing into this in some kind of chess piece, and they're all pieces to this game.
So if you have a progressive,
hold on, Houston. What'd you say, Diva?
A progressive like Christie running in the general election, you have a progressive like Hillary Clinton running in the general election, who do you vote for?
You vote for who's going to be in the best interest of you. But the question is, when are you going to become, instead of a pawn, a player?
If
you're a player, you don't control no politics. You just
that's
vote.
What I'm saying. So you need to be, and right now you have the power to become a player, but you keep on becoming a pawn because you keep on dumbing yourself down. The question is, when are you going to become a player in this and quit being a pawn? It makes a difference. And you have. Hold on. Diva told me to watch House of Cards. Remember that, Diva?
Yeah.
Okay, so I got on Netflix over the weekend, and I sat at my computer. And you remember when there was an episode, I think it was episode 5, that they had
season
he had to get the vote.
Hold on.
He had to get the votes, and he went to the Black Caucus because he could get them 11 votes. And they said they'd make him Speaker of the House if they got 11 votes. Remember that episode?
Yes.
You have to understand that's how the numbers go. It's all about the numbers. He didn't need to be a majority. He only needed those 11. And if you can get these 11 to side with me on this, I'll give you this. And so you have to understand African Americans may not be the majority, but because of the numbers that they glean, all I've got to do is shape these numbers into what I'm doing, and I'll make a change. The problem is only one person wins when they swing those numbers. So if you've got a million people voting my way, and I mean Jeff and Sticks and Ben are the only ones winning, what did you get out of the situation? And that's how we've been played for the voting. They go to Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and to Tavis Smiley and Tom Joyner and Michael Bazin and all these people, and they say, listen, you're going to do this. And when Tavis Smiley came out and spoke against spoke against Barack Obama, and he was standing with Hillary Clinton, that was the end of Tavis Smiley and the love affair he had with Tom Joyner.
That was it.
And so you have to understand, if you don't play in the game and if you speak outside the box and you have your own mind and you're going to cause some demise, I will cut your throat.
And, you know, they went with Obama because of his color, too. Because his color is more conducive to the Middle East.
But no,
not at first.
Not at first. Remember, some of them still stuck with it. What's her name? 70 Tubbs Jones said, I'm going to stick with her, and they killed her.
They sure did.
Jesse Jackson was
Jesse Jackson, he made that comment.
Yeah. He called out like Barack Obama.
And nobody called him a racist on that, did they?
No, they didn't, but you got to understand. So you have to understand the players and the game. So even when it comes to racism in this country, I don't care if you don't like me. So what? Rich folks don't care if you don't like them as long as they can buy you when they need you.
It's true. And they buy and that's where I make my comments at times. If you hear me say how the poor are merchandised,
absolutely,
or how black people are merchandised, they get merchandised every single freaking election.
The Waltons don't care if you like them. As long as you go to Walmart.
That's right.
They don't care about
that's what the NBA players on the Clippers say. Who else going
to
pay me $6 million a year? What black business is going
to
pay me $6 million a year?
And the Waltons love when you keep biting at the bit for minimum wage.
We don't care.
Because you're wiping out their competition like you wouldn't believe. But you can't think about it. You can't think about that.
And you need to understand every time you raise the price, you raise the price. And every time I raise the wage, I raise the price. And the only person that gets – that's why you can't live on minimum wage, because I keep on raising the price every time I raise the wage. And instead of giving you an education so that you can move forward and become independent from the system, don't depend on anybody but your faith, your God, and your life and your family for your eating. That's all that matters.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I worked in corporate America for 25 years. I worked in R&D. And I'm still working. I do consulting work now, and I have a small business. Corporations get a lot of welfare. When I was working in R&D in the 80s, we were doing a lot of what we call blue sky. The federal government had something called blue sky research. That was research whereas whatever you're doing, you don't expect to make anything in the next 2 or 3 years. It may be 5 to 10 years before it actually comes to fruition. But it's still, you know, we've invested millions of dollars. And they were getting a lot of, in exchange for doing that, they were getting a lot of tax breaks from that. I mean, I have seen welfare.
Corporations don't get no welfare.
Let's define this welfare. See, corporations get handouts, and they get, you can call it corporate welfare, whatever you want to do.
Subsidies.
Hold on, Pianchi. You can call it subsidies, whatever you want. But their subsidies give them sustainability.
Right.
And they give them traction to grow. So
exactly.
You can call it a subsidy, a contract, you can call it whatever you want to call it, because what they get is, whatever they get,
we call it job creation?
Oh, they get, no, it's not even job creation, because I make money on it. So when you call it whatever you want to call it, you want to call it job creation, you want to call it welfare, you want to call it subsidies, whatever you want to call it, but guess what? They get enough to make money on it.
Mm-hmm.
When poor people get welfare, they don't get enough to live on it, they get enough to sustain.
And they don't create anything by it either.
And they don't allow you to get any traction under your feet because of how they do it, so that you can go from one step to another. Because they need to keep you there so that you will always work for the companies that they're subsidizing.
Subsidies for the rich
saying,
and welfare is for the poor. I'd rather get the subsidies.
That's what I'm saying, Pianchi.
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that the subsidies were bad. I mean, the subsidies may eventually create new jobs. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's, you know, there's a lot of different things, again, in government that I just said earlier when we were talking about this progressive thing, that people have their own agenda. And
Houston, listen to this. The problem is welfare, check, age-dependent children, all this entitlement that comes to poor people, Head Start, none of it has accountability. It makes other people money, and it doesn't do anything for our bottom line. So in the last 50 years, since the war on poverty and all this really, really started and to be on steroids, it has not gained us any traction. And unless
no
we're going to, and,
no
and unless
is,
we're
I'm
going to change, if we're going to talk about racism in America, and you're going to talk about progressives in America, if you look at how many black people have been aborted, their babies, if you look at how we know how many black men have been incarcerated, if you look at what happened to the black family unit in America today, we always look at the subsidies. We need to get into the position where we can get subsidies. You can call that reparations if you want to. But we will not come together right now if you combine all of the salaries of all of the Clippers in the NBA. And if they were to put $100 in a pot a month for a business model, they would go further than what they're doing right now. And our problem is we will not work together for our own common good. So when you talk about progressives, you can be a progressive, but you need to be a player and not just a pawn. And black people and poor people are pawns. They sit on the chessboard, and all they do is wait to get knocked off.
Or get stimulated.
Okay, what do you devise as a black agenda? And then you've given me all
they don't have one.
Oh, wait, no. He said, "What do you devise as one?"
What I do, we need to actually become more organized. We need to get out of the political structure and begin to become independent and see what we're going to get, whether it be Republican or Democrat. You can't start a third party.
Nope.
But you need to swing your vote to where you're going to go. You need to ask him and make sure you're sitting at the table. And I've got a friend, and he and I are politically completely opposed. But he used to make a statement, and his name is Wes. And he said, you never see a Chinese vote in America, yet they have an interest at the table. Right now, you've got a governor in the state of Ohio. He has gotten at least 15% set aside for minority. In the minority community, black community in this state in the last 4 years. And instead of sitting down and finding out how we can create economic development in our own community, we drop him down talking about voter suppression. That's a voter suppression lie. And we get caught up. You got people coming in here talking about they're going to suppress the vote. They're going to put y'all back in chains. And we go out and we can become mobilized to vote for somebody who's really going to keep our minds in chains and not allow us to be free.
I'll have to agree with you on that one.
Understand, look at what the progressive field has gotten you. Common Core is a progressive idea.
And the NAACP and the Urban League last week sent out a press release embracing Common Core.
The state of Indiana got rid of Common Core.
Yes, he did.
So did Texas.
Yeah, so did Texas now.
I was so glad to hear that because, you know, my daughter goes to school there.
There you are.
Governor Pence.
Yeah.
And he's going to be running for president as well. But here's the thing.
Pence
look at what state the communities are in, especially down there in Houston. I love Houston. It's too big for me to drive across. But here it is. Look at your minority communities. You don't have anything going on inside of there except for a few kingmakers that keep people under control.
And that's all they do. And they jockey you. They herd you like cattle to get you to the polls. That's why they want souls to the polls. They don't sit down and tell you the difference between one initiative and another.
Wait a minute.
They're ground all the way down.
They got rid of Common Core in these states. Did they address the problem at hand? And try to come up with another.
Do you know what the problem is? The problem is we don't take time to spend time with our children.
Mm.
We don't take time to work on our families. I shouldn't be depending on the government to educate my children. I should be doing that myself. And even those people in our past did not have an education, yet they could educate their children so that they could get an education.
Okay, this is how I saw the problem with education. And I can only go on my own experience. Going through the Youngstown public school system and leaving that school system and then going into another school system and seeing the big difference, seeing how
Diva.
Far behind you actually were.
Sweetheart, Diva, sweetie, listen, you can't tell me nothing I don't know, and you are right. But the problem is not with the education system. It is with the children that walk inside the door. But we don't even come out and vote for our school board members. We don't even put a slate of school board members up there that could actually have sense to pour peanut butter out of a jar.
But see, Tracy, that's what you're failing to understand. It wasn't just the people who walked in the door. It was
Diva. Diva,
you were being taught at a different level
than other
districts.
Diva, because you couldn't keep up, if I can't get you to sit in a chair.
Tracy,
if I cannot,
it's not about
no.
bad kids. I'm talking about smart kids.
Diva, sweetie,
you don't get it.
Listen, if you've got 27 students in a classroom and you've got three that act crazy, the instruction time makes a difference. And because they herd you in from a lot of low, underdeveloped areas and low poverty areas, they start you in at a lesser because you're not walking into the classroom knowing how to read.
And what Common Core does, it makes the Youngstown City schools, it makes them successful.
It doesn't make
them
successful.
In numbers, it does. Okay. It justifies their non-
Right. Common Core dumbs you down.
Right.
It makes you, if you saw how they're doing division, you would laugh.
But I'm serious about this. When you look at what's going on, if you go inside of a classroom at 5 or 6 years old in the first grade, and you can read, know your colors, know your ABCs, can count to 100, and know three-letter words because your parents and wherever you've gone, whether it be Head Start or whomever,
Seven.
And you can sit down in a classroom and you know how to behave and you learn how to learn, then I can start with you. But if you walk into a classroom and you run all over the place because I've given you too much sugar, I don't have time with you. I don't let you get in bed at night. You're asleep when you get in there. I can't teach you at the same level as I would in a suburban school when the mindset they walk inside of there already having a foundation for learning.
And now I give you three hots a day at school, which I'm not against, but here it is. I give you three hots a day, but guess what that does? That parent then says, well, shoot, I don't have to feed my kid. I can go spend that money on my cigarettes. I can go spend the money on my beer. I can go spend the money this, that, and other. And they
on
stop
drugs.
Being responsible for their own children.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, you are done. You are nothing more than a freaking slave for real.
You
that's,
might as well give your children to the Hitler Youth.
That's where you're at.
I got to let Matt in. Matt.
Hey, Tracy, what's going on?
Matt's been missing an action because he said he was working.
Yeah, he's busy.
It's like I never left. I come home, I throw on my headphones, you're screaming a diva, people are piling in on Jeff in the chat room, Pianchi's throwing in a zinger every once in a while. It's like I never, you don't need me on this show.
Sure we do. What you talking about?
As usual, spirited conversation. I just want to add, when we were talking about progressivism and trying to explain it again, people need to realize that progressivism is a leftist agenda. And I'm not saying a Democrat agenda. I'm not saying
no.
Who's responsible. It's all over the grid. It's a leftist agenda. And it's very important because a lot of people will vote for people, and they are completely against what these people are voting them for. When we talk about progressivism, we're talking about the only people that's going to make it with a progressive one world order are those top one percenters, are those bankers, are those. It doesn't matter what color you are, as long as you got money and you can be able to distribute that money effectively to maintain a direction of a certain idealism. That's what progressivism is. If you guys don't know what it, not you on the show, obviously, we've been talking about it for years. But if you don't understand what progressivism is, go and research the early progressives in the early 19th or late 19th and early 20th centuries. Do the research on that and then look at the people and then look at the current people that we have to vote for. Hillary Clinton, who admitted being a progressive, and everybody said, yay, progress, oh, good. No. It's about pushing in an agenda, and that agenda is for the 1%, and it's for the bankers, and it's for the people that everybody on the left is against. Do your research.
It's basically a system of the connected, by the connected, and for the connected.
And
okay.
the
so-called elites.
And the only way one of us are going to survive in a new world order is if we're in bondage.
And by the way, blacks don't fit in mindset. In fact, they hate black people, and that's why their policies, look at abortion, why do you kill three times the people in the black community than you do in any other set of race of people?
It's my understanding that Du Bois stood with Margaret Sanger.
Yes.
And again,
so did Martin Luther King.
And again, a lot of people
really?
Do not.
Yes.
Yes. And a lot of people do not realize the intent. Just going back to the gentleman who is the owner of the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
People, he was getting ready to get an NAACP, a Lifetime Achievement Award.
As a progressive.
You got to understand what that means. They were getting ready to bow down and genuflect him.
And if you don't believe that the progressive movement is strong and anti-black in America, let's look at the population of the prisons.
Again, and let me say this, and when you go into a prison system, tell me this, why is it you go in one way and come out the same way and you've been there for a long lifetime and you don't see any impact of change? How do you go in a drug addict and come out a drug addict? Explain that to me.
And Houston, I got one other one for you. Okay, we have all this talk about income inequality, which is it's another bunch of BS to get people excited to go vote. And I'll ask you a question. If that's the case, we're always talking about the rich getting richer, right? Why then under Obama have the rich gotten richer at like four or five times the rate than they did up under anybody else previously?
And under his economic policies, the majority of new jobs created are minimum wage jobs.
Minimum wage jobs, and the only people to make money are the stock market.
Because that's because all of the...
Yeah, I have a question.
Hold on, Philly.
That's because all the research, industry, new job development is being outsourced overseas. So
no, sir, it is not. That's not what it is. That is not it whatsoever. That has nothing to do with it.
And why?
It has nothing to do with it.
Hey, Houston, let me ask you this. I got a question because hold on. I got to take a break, and I've got a couple calls coming, but I got to say this to you, and because I want to hear what you have to say, and I know it's going to be very, very impactful. But let me also let you understand this. Do we not understand that the legalization of marijuana in America is going to hurt poor people? Do we not understand that the lack of education is going to hurt poor people? Do you not? We've got jobs and we can't fill them because of our education system inside of poor communities.
3 million a year go unfilled, skilled labor
jobs.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not for marijuana legalization. I'm against marijuana legalization. What I'm saying is that a lot of things you guys are saying, I mean, I think it's a hyperbola. The reality is I know African Americans here, educated. My daughter is a chemical engineer, made good scores. It took her 2.5 years to get a job. She was a chemical engineer, and she had to go through the state of Texas basically as what they call an entry-level chemist, but she really
was
here to get a job. Now she finally made herself halfway into the chemical engineering market. And I told my daughter, I worked in the chemical business for almost 30 years. When you go out there in those fields where they're pumping that oil and drilling that oil, it's still a buddy-buddy network. I know.
Can I ask you a question? Hey, Houston, was she willing to leave Houston?
She couldn't even get a job outside of Houston.
Let me say this. A lot of this has to do with our lack of network, too. And that's a whole other issue for a whole other day.
That's a whole other issue. What I'm saying is that we say it like, if you go do this, you do this, it's like supposed to be cut and dry. No, it's not cut and dry.
You're right. It's not cut and dry. But guess what? But that's our fault because, again, we do not network ourselves inside into the weaving and the fabric of this country. You cannot stand on the outside and expect for somebody to come get you. You've got to weave your way in.
You didn't let me finish. She is all network. Look, that girl is, if you're talking about social stuff, network, she's the one. I mean, she's always been like this. She's a smart girl. She's working, making good money now. But she told me all the different barriers and hurdles. And I told her, I said, look, I started back in 1980.
Can I ask you, because I don't have long. I got to go. I want to get to John, but I do have a question for you. Is she bringing anybody else in with her? Is she mentoring anybody? Is she making sure she's a part of the network to bring others in?
She does that right now. She does it on the weekend.
That's what we do. But we can't do it until we get there. And how many other people around her look like her?
All I'm saying is that it's not all of this talk about what's this and jobs not here. I work in R&D. People have told me from different, a lot of new technology. Only thing they want young people in America to do is basically, even in the technical area, is run an instrument. There are not a lot of people looking for R&D. They want you to come in and look at a graph, look at a chart, as long as you can run a computer, know what it means, understand spreadsheets, look at when the work, and I was a part of that work for
but
years.
But can I say this? Why don't we?
Been done. It was done.
But let me say this, and I gotta let John in. I really do. But I understand where you're coming from, and I understand the frustration that you have. But until I actually start my own lab, and I can hire and bring you in to do research and development that I need to be have done, we lose.
Well,
that comes from
that. That's what I told you. I started Excel Nutraceuticals. I'm just saying this is the reality. You know,
we understand that. But we understand the reality of it. But guess what? There are others out there that need to do the same thing, and we need to grow together, and we need to invest in your R&D company.
Well, we don't. Not acting like that African American. There is a small amount of African Americans that are trying to do some of the things you're doing. Yes, there is a big overall problem.
Listen to what I'm saying. You're right. But there's a small amount. But when it comes down to how we work, network together and how we work together, you can see where there is a huge disconnect, and we blame other people. Go ahead, John.
I want to say this, Donald Sterling was honored by the NAACP for many years. So it's not just this year that he was going to try to get this award. This man has gotten awards in the past. And the whole thing is that he was recorded in secret. So this happened to be a conversation, and someone happened to tape this. But these types of attitudes among people who are in business, this type of attitude is there and has always been there. So, I mean, this man happened to get caught. But people who are in business have these attitudes in private. So for the media to try to vilify him now because he has these attitudes, they have to realize that, you know, these people don't say these types of things in public, but they do have these private types of opinions if it comes to African Americans or other types of minorities that aren't doing well in the country.
Hey, Tracy.
Yes, sorry,
these corporations donate. Then, John, they donate to the NAACP because the NAACP is the major fire putter outer in the black society.
Right.
And urbanly. That's why they sit on their boards.
And also, if this man was Jewish, the NAACP gets a lot of its money from people who were Jewish and who were wealthy. And this man happens to be Jewish.
He's Jewish.
And, this man happens to be a wealthy Jewish business person, and he was probably also involved in the process of handing out money to the NAACP, and they had been honoring him for many years.
But we know, you just said that already. We know that. We know that he's been given money. He's been given a lot of money. The question is, he gave a lot of money, and we sucked it in, but yet we knew, because I'm quite sure this is not the first time, and my understanding from the research is this is not the first time at the rodeo.
It's not the first time.
So why do you keep on taking money from people that you know that you don't like, and yet you're going to honor him, and you ain't going to say nothing about it, and whatever he says, you're going to do? So who got the money?
You look at the NAACP in a whole other light.
No, you shouldn't. You look at it you always have, Diva.
No, because I always looked
at the NAACP as it was first began as a beacon of movement for the advancement of colored people. But now,
okay.
I mean, here it is. This guy has been, you know about his racist past, and you awarded him an NAACP award and an NAACP presidential award twice before, and you've been accepting money from him? I'm sorry. That lets me know that, okay, something more going on with this organization, that if you can sit here and say you are for me as a colored person, but
That was unbelievable you got there, but I'll say it like this. I'm so glad you did, and I'll ask you this question then. So is gay rights the new civil rights and the most pressing thing for the black community right now?
No, and the one thing that makes me
so
mad is...
Okay, well, NAACP did. Remember when we said that last year and you dogged me for saying, you know, for dogging them for that? See, this
for
is
what
I'm saying.
For what?
Because the NAACP came out last year summertime and said, last year springtime, gay rights is the new civil rights. And
And Americans and black Americans jumped on it like 40 going north.
40 going north and was all in with it.
So telling for me about this whole situation is, if Donald Sterling was sitting there making a rant about gay people, it seemed like the whole world would be on fire.
Can I say this to you, Diva? If he was sitting there because gay people make up less of a percentage point than you do, but they are organized and they understand the paradigm. They don't vote Republican and they don't vote Democrat. They vote interest.
Diva, would have came together.
They don't sell out.
Exactly.
5% of them, period.
They don't sell out.
Exactly. And they don't.
So
you don't have. You won't hear
that
one gay person said.
No, this is more than a diva. Listen, if they don't sell out, why do we allow them? Why do we allow the organization that say they represent the black community, why do we allow them to sell us? That's what you call slavery.
Because we had the wool pulled over our eyes for a long time.
No, you don't. But
you
Diva,
still
hold on, hold on, Diva. And I've been saying this for how long?
Tracy, nobody's going to trust what you say because everybody's going to look at you like as if you have your own agenda.
There ain't no wool.
Wait
it's
a minute.
Not wool,
what
it's a hoodie.
People look at you as a Republican and possibly a Tea Party member. They're not
I'm not a Tea Party
you.
Member. I'm not a Tea Party
that.
Member.
I know that. What I'm saying is that's how they look at
so
you.
Why, so what? So
you
why, hold on. So if
Republican.
I stand here and tell you the truth, and I prove to you, and then they prove to you that I tell you the truth, what does that say?
Tracy.
Well, didn't that mean people just got to come back and be like, you know what, Tracy? I'm sorry
to
be the first.
No, it means that you need to change your stupid behind.
You're a Republican, Tracy.
I just said to open up your eyes because people are using you.
But you're racist, Tracy, because you're Republican.
It takes time for people's eyes to be open. And then when a person's eyes are open, all you're going to do is say, well, yeah,
Diva,
that's what I've been trying to tell you.
But this is what I'm trying to
tell you. You know what? I'm glad your eyes are open. But, yeah, I've been trying to tell you that forever.
Listen, the issue is we've got to stop this because we need to understand we are hanging off of a cliff. Black folks are hanging off of a cliff, and people are behind us pushing us off one at a time. And if we don't stop this thing and start growing,
don't listen to the truth.
And push back, we're all going to die together.
Don't listen to the truth.
That's a problem. And we talk about education. We could be doing things in our own community, and we won't do them.
Won't do them.
And we need to quit letting people just use us. Our babies are dying, and we're killing them, and they're burning down our houses, and we're giving them gasoline. And they do it in the name of you need to have more money. You need to have more program. You don't need a program. All you need to have is opportunity and somebody to push a dream inside of you so that you can make it. That's all.
Tracy, it's so frustrating. I know we got to go. We'll pick up and talk about some other stuff tomorrow. But
that's all.
The only thing I wanted to say is
here.
The only thing I wanted to say is Donald Sterling is just the tip of the iceberg. There are many white business people just like Donald Sterling.
Philadelphia,
he just got caught because his brother was trying to extort money out of him.
Hey Jeff, they need to take the hoodie off their eyes and go ahead and swallow them damn Skittles.
With a big long drink of iced tea.
We failed to realize this ain't new. This ain't, he ain't the only one. I mentioned the woman who had the baseball team. I They're a business owner. There are people, all kinds of folks. This ain't new. They never liked you. Y'all make money for them. And then, listen, NFL.
But that doesn't mean that you cannot change their mindset.
1980 is when I got to, when I found the truth out about the political system and started seeing the truth. And I woke up then and I never went back to sleep.
Jeff.
And I've always, and I've been right here and I've been getting called names. And people say, well, what the hell's wrong with Jeff? He won't change and come on with us because you're being a fool.
I'm trying to be very, very real about this, but y'all don't understand. When I go into a place and I look around, and we talk about a basketball game, football game,
college?
Pro, and you go up to the box seats, and you everybody up here is white, and everybody down on the floor playing is black. You ain't even got their wives up here. That's a problem.
It's a whole lot, doesn't it?
See, I'm trying to tell you.
Because this is how I feel about this, Diva. I think that you vote for that to happen. Every time that you agree to go with them on a certain thing.
Whether
you
vote Republican or Democrat, it's going
to
happen.
I think that you vote for that. And so, therefore, I totally just discount you.
Here's the thing. You cannot sit here and say, I just want your eyes to be open, but
Diva.
Your eyes are closed to the Republican
Diva,
Party.
Diva,
but you
Diva.
Still,
no, no,
but
no,
you're
no,
still
no,
discounting
no, no, no,
somebody
no,
who
no,
vote
no,
Democrat.
No, no,
hey,
no,
Democrat
no,
has
no,
their
no,
eyes
no,
open.
No,
a Republican, and your eyes can be open.
Republicans wear Fruit of the Looms, too.
We'll see you guys on tomorrow. God bless and have a good day.
Don't Republicans wear Fruit of the Looms, too?
Yeah, I'm sure. Hang.
How in the hell is Michael Jordan coming in going against this guy for the things that people have criticized him of doing in the past? This is a big circus.
Wait,
I tell you, it is a big, big circus.
I'm just flabbergasted at sometimes at where your line of thinking goes, because you're trying to compare the failings of Michael Jordan with this guy being a complete racist and how people are feeling about that. That's just,
the man is not a racist. The man
is
not keeping you from. He is not. He's not preventing you from doing. What is he preventing you from doing?
When you sit up there and you have a mindset that you don't like a certain people based on their skin color, and it ain't just from this conversation, you have to do your research on this guy. Then yes, you are a racist.
But what has he done that's against the law, Diva?
It is against the law to deny housing to someone based on their skin
color.
Then
they need to sue him and take him to court.
They did
they do that?
They did.
Huh?
This thing you need. That's why you need to do research before you sometimes open your mouth. You have to do your research.
Well, I'm going by this particular story. The man is what most of America is probably basing their emotions on. The man is not a racist.
He said,
how are
you
going
to
be a racist if you tell your...
He said, why do you have to publicize your affiliation?
Diva, you got a white boyfriend, right?
Really? Yeah, so this is not the only white boy I've dated.
I understand. So your position and thinking is going to be different than mine.
Yeah, but still, your position and thinking is still somewhat, I just don't understand.
Keep living, you will.
I still think, I kind of think you're a bigot and a racist too, so.
I admit to being racial. I admit that I have prejudice, and I am discriminatory.
You are racist.
And I usually let people talk. But I do not break the law.
Well, it don't matter if you don't break the law. You're still a racist. He broke the law. He's still a racist.
But it don't matter what you feel about me.
It only matters what you can do as far as taking me to court and making a court rule against
what I've done and hurt me financially. That's the only thing that matters.
Bianchi, so you're telling me that this guy can't be a racist because he didn't break any laws? Really?
I'm telling you from the story that's out now, based on what he said in private, he's not a racist.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you based on what he said in private and what his past behavior is, he is a racist.
All right, then it gets down to this. you got to have more influence than I do to get your point across. And listening to your stories over the last year or so, you don't have that. So you still going
to
lose.
Care. And listening to what anything you have to say based on your racist mindset, I really don't care what you say or what you think of me. I really don't.
I'm glad you don't.
Your mind is just basically stuck in that racist box.
My mind is thinking about business, making money.
Okay, that's fine, but you still are.
I don't have no time. So what? The man said to use the N-word. Who have not? On the basketball court, they use the N-word. Matter of fact, it was a big discussion about 3 weeks ago all over the place.
Yes, you don't understand.
A white player came out and said that the NBA is 70% black. When blacks get tired of using the N-word on the court, they would make the decision. It's not up to me.
I guess you don't understand the difference between nigger and nigga, but okay. But that still doesn't make neither here nor there the fact that you are racist.
Good. I'm happy to be. Here's another point. I'm not keeping nobody from doing anything. See, racists have nothing to do about who you like or who you don't
like. You are, too, because you said that you will not associate with white businesses. You do not buy from white
businesses. I never said I would not associate with white businesses.
Did you not? Okay. All right. We didn't have this conversation.
I got letters from white employees. I got letters from white employees when I finally got down and said that I was the best person they ever worked for.
These
whites was with me for that. Well, will you listen? My goodness.
No, you don't listen. Justify. Now
well, you talk
justify.
To yourself.
Well, that's fine. You can hang up. You're still a racist.
Why are you arguing with him?
I don't. Cause
yeah,
he
you
is.
Know what? He's up in age. I'm not. Look. You don't have to, you don't, like you say, you, just because a person, people that make statements like that, blunt statements and got a lot of money, they probably are racist. I mean, just because I don't break the law, I could be supporting other people who are breaking the law. So I'm still supporting racism. You know, I agree with him. You know, to really be able to be a racist, you have to be able to affect the economic and social well-being of another group. And this guy is in a position to do that. Therefore, he could potentially be a racist. I mean, I could say I don't like you because you're white, or I don't like you because I'm black. That's my own prejudice. But if I actually have money and influence and start paying people to affect your life, maybe I own 20% of the bank, the area you live in, and I tell the people in the bank, I don't want you to get no loans to black people, now I'm being racist.
And that's just like if I own property and I don't want to rent to minorities and I'm trying to kick all the minorities out based on their skin color, yeah, I'm
that's
a racist.
You're racist. Just
when
like
you
if
sit
I
up
own
there,
a
you
basketball
tell.
Team, if I own a basketball team, and yeah, I got these guys playing for me as servants, but all the people in the front office are all white, then I might be racial too. All I'm saying is when you have the kind of power and influence that a billionaire has, you're in a good position to be racist. That means you will be, but I agree with you because of this guy's current situation and his past history, he probably is racist.
Ain't no probably. He is a racist. But the reason why I call Pianki a racist is because Pianki not only is a bigot, but he's a racist because Pianki has a problem with white people in general. It's okay for to work for him, but to have associations with them, to build friendships with them, relationships with them, he thinks in his eyes that he's better than them. So when you have a position of power over another race and you think that you're better than them, and like you said, you have a way of economically disenfranchising them, you have a way through your power of disenfranchising, you are racist. And Pianki just happens to be black, who's a racist. Now, we always say we never call out the black racist. I'm not the one to quickly call somebody a racist, but I'm going to call a spade as a spade. Donald Sterling is racist. Pianki's a racist.
Diva, let me ask you a question. So Pianki doesn't like them or whatever, but if he gives them jobs and hires them, then by your definition, he really kind of doesn't meet that criteria because he's not economically holding them back. He just personally, in his personal life, doesn't fool with them.
No, because that means that you can have a slave, you can have Donald Sterling hires black people.
Then I made it.
He has black basketball players who work up under him. But yet he still, in a way, can hold, has power over them. And even in his, in some of his practices, he does not want public associations with black people. He does not want them.
Wait a minute. The thing with Donald Sterling, but this is the thing, though, Diva. He just gave Chris Paul almost on. Oh, Diva, you say I didn't listen. You told me on the break I didn't listen.
Okay.
I'm trying to ask you a question, trying to have a dialogue now. Mm-hmm. So Chris Paul just got $100 million from this guy. Blake Griffin mm-hmm. got $100 million. Right? He got all these guys. He's giving these guys hundreds of millions of dollars whereby if they're smart and they operate in a certain way, they can be his competition. So it's a chess game.
Yeah, but what does that still have to do with the fact that he's him and Pianchi? I get what you're saying.
What I'm saying is I don't care if you don't like me because I'm sure those Asian people you buy your donkey ass from don't like you either, but they sell it to you.
But that's
don't make
not
a difference.
But that's not the point. The point that I'm making is the fact that they're both, Pianchi and Donald Sterling are both racist. It's not just about them not liking me. Heck, I got people in my own family that don't like me. Got people calling to this radio show and listen to this radio show.
Okay, but what's the effective meaning of it? Like, okay, so they'll call them a name. Okay, now what? I mean, the game is about wealth and who's using that money to do something with it.
It's not just the fact that he doesn't like black people. It's more than that. It's a much bigger issue than that. I don't understand how people are not getting that. But I get what you're saying. Yes, they're getting all this money from him, but yet they're not doing anything. You would hope after this situation that all that their money they're getting from him, they continue to play
for him. You got the guy from Indiana Pacers just had a baby by some stripper in Miami. They losing. He done lost. They about to get put out in the first round by the Atlanta Hawks. That's his stupidity. You know what I'm saying? We've had a lot of black guys come into these leagues, get millions of dollars, and then in 5 years they broke. Antoine Walker, he's broke. This guy got hundreds of millions of dollars. Mike Tyson, hundreds of millions of dollars, almost half a billion.
What's his name? From the 76ers. What's his name? The little troublemaker, they label him the troublemaker.
Allen Iverson.
There you go. Allen Iverson. How much money did he make?
I got personal stories about Allen Iverson's stupidity and how he spent his money.
Chad Johnson. What's the other one?
That's another one.
The other football player that came up around the time, he really broke now.
T.O. T.O. from Alabama. He's from right where he's from, too far from where I'm at now.
That's what I'm saying.
These guys, let me tell you something. You put me in that situation. Let me get 30, 40, 50 million, $60 million. And then come back in 6 years. But that's because I'm older now and I think a certain way. But when I'm 20 years old, I probably did some stupid things too. But I'm just saying these guys have got to. I got a kid right now that played. He's from my hometown named Courtney Forson. Used to play for Arkansas. I took him to the bookstore. I sat him down. I talked to him. I said, man, when you get somewhere, when you start making money, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to invest in. This is how you need to look. You need to read. You need to understand the game. This is how the game's played. We don't do that. Like, we get it. I'm going to buy my mom a house and a car. You're not going to live at that lifestyle for the rest of your life. But I hate to hear when people say, well, this is the most money you're going to ever make in your life. That's a lie. I don't believe that. That guy Bernie Kosar, from the quarterback from the Cleveland Browns, said he made more money after he played football. You got to learn how to use your mind to take this money and do something with it. And I can care less how racist that guy is. If I work, I played for him, I would say it. Like, look, he gave me $100 million. He think what he want to think. I'm taking this, and I'm going to buy apartments. I'm going to be wealthy, and I'm going to help other brothers to get out of there and make some money as well. I'm going to help my people. That's what I'm going to do. What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that. If that's the stand you're going to make, there's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with that. Now, when you sit up there and say, well, I got to collect my check, I got family to feed, then I'm going to have a problem with that.
Wait, say what?
when you sit up there, if a person was to sit up there and say, well, look, hey, I'm just trying to collect my paycheck because I got mouths to feed, then yeah, I'm going to have a problem with that, because then that's like you're allowing this racism to continue, and you're not doing anything about it.
What you mean allowing the racism to continue? I mean, if a guy says that, I got mouths to feed.
You're not doing anything to combat it. And what you came up with is a great way to combat it. Imagine if they took that $100 million each and put it back into the community and help others come up and create businesses for the people who work under Donald Sterling to come under. Imagine how
I know a guy in Chicago, Diva. I know a guy in Chicago that's a financial planner that works with a lot of people. He can't get those guys to give a tenth of 1% of their salary. We're talking like $10,000 from a lot of those guys. They won't even get that. They won't do that, but they'll wear a $100,000 necklace around their neck,
which is ridiculous.
That's them. You know, they'll go in the strip club with $8,000 and throw it on some stripper.
You trying to act like Jay-Z, not understanding that his net worth between him and his wife is almost $1 billion, and you trying to act like you at $1 billion status? But see, Jay-Z has revolving revenue. Because he's a smart businessman. All you're doing is just playing ball. What else are you doing?
Well, I mean, that's the thing, though. I mean, but they're consumers, though. I mean, you're just an employee. I mean, technically, I'm an employee right now. But, see, I see where I am. The thing is, are you awake? It's just like the Matrix. Are you asleep or are you awake? If you're awake and you see what's going on, you can make moves and position yourself to do something. You can't just sit around and say, well, you know, I'm good. I'm making X amount of dollars. That's why I hate to hear black women tell me they're successful and they're an employee for some company. You're not successful. The owner's successful. If he's paying you $250, he's probably making some millions off of you. That's just how it works. That's the game. He said it, man. That's why I hate the part that it's like it's been edited. Some of the stuff he said was real true game. Like, people, all we're hearing is I don't want you having this on your page. No, he was talking about, look, I empower those guys. I get those guys their houses, their cars. I hadn't heard too many people playing that part. That's the part that's really telling far as how he thinks. This in the mind of a billionaire, how he really looks at his employees.
That's the part that really got me was because I'm like, okay, you know,
why you notice they're not playing that part, though? They don't play that part.
Because that's how they all think. Imagine if one man is thinking that way. One man is thinking that way. Who is his friends? They all think that way. They all view y'all like that. Why do you think they're getting the biggest, the strongest, blackest players that they can find? They feed you. They clothe
you. It's on us to empower us, put ourselves in a better situation. Can you be out here worth $300 billion? Probably not, but if you get paid X amount of millions of dollars, and I come talk to you when you're 33 years old. You can't even pay $20. I was at a league yesterday with some guys that were real good in basketball. Some of those guys can't even pay the $400 for the league registration. But these guys, I'm talking about, they on the NBA level. Like, these guys can really play.
Millions of dollars.
Do something with it.
These black players are making and pulled together. I wonder if somebody would ever calculate how much this net worth of all these black millionaires, not just in sports, but in every industry, every black millionaire pull all their network together and compile it and see how much they're worth, and yet the black community is still struggling.
I mean, but this has been going on for years, though. But you've always had certain guys that
get
out.
Yeah, but now it's where now it's exploding. The number of black millionaires,
doing nothing. Most of them ain't doing nothing.
They're not doing anything. And because at first, you didn't see it. You couldn't really tell how many black millionaires were out there. Now you can really see it. Oh,
hold on, Diva. I played basketball, Diva. Let me tell you something. Basketball players are some of the most powerful. Now, football players don't make as much, but basketball players make a decent salary. Players are some of the most feminine, female, arrogant. You can't tell them nothing. They think they know it. They think they're better than you because they can put a ball in a hole. That's basketball players. Most of them, they stuck up. They don't want to speak to you when you see you. That's most good guys that can play basketball. They don't have any personality. They don't know how to talk to people. I'm being dead serious. Like, I played ball with some guys. I was pretty good, and I was able to play with a lot of them. They were complete a-holes, most of them.
That's just the truth. Most basketball, I've heard stories about LeBron, Dwayne Wade. They all like that. They don't listen to people. So and then
but do you wonder why the black community is stuck depending on governments, the government system, when our own people?
Well, see, the thing is, hold on, you can't demonize pro-business policies on one end and then want to and then try to push to people to be empowered on the other end. It's kind of an oxymoron. Like
what I'm saying is, you have so many people saying, why do black people have this mentality that they have to depend on the government? Well, when we look to our own people, they're not willing to help. They're not willing to invest in our communities. They're not willing to invest
in our
families.
W.E.B. Du Bois, let me tell you what, that's why I'm not a fan of him. He went to the federal government, knowing at the time that they were very racist. When Marcus Garvey had the Black Star Line, W.E.B. Du Bois went to the government and begged for them to give him ships to run him out of business, to run Marcus Garvey out of business. That's black people. We're so uppity. He's so uppity because he went to Harvard. He felt like, okay, it's my turn. Booker T. Washington's passed away. It's my turn to shine. And here comes this uneducated Negro from Jamaica coming over here, taking all the glory. I got to get rid of him. Instead of saying, man, let's work together, man. I like this UNIA thing, man. Let's work as Pan-Africanists. Can't do it.
Nope.
Can't do it. I got horror stories when I had my comedy club, some of the stuff people were saying and doing when I was trying to run my business. People that I employed about 30 people. Horror stories. It was a mess. Black people are hard to work with. We're hard to employ. We're hard to do something for. Sometimes you got to do something and don't expect them to really be appreciative. Don't expect them to work with you. In fact, it's expect the worst, but still
and
do it because we have a bigger purpose.
I'm trying to figure out where did that line level of thinking, because I watched The Butler, and the most poignant part that I remember is when the butler started working as a butler and was being mentored by the one guy. And he said, I'm the best house nigga you'll ever meet. And then he said, you should never think of yourself as that. He said, not that I'm saying anything is wrong with servitude, because servitude taught us how to work hard. It taught us how to be strong, and it taught us to handle adversity and difficult situations. But you should never see yourself as just that. But that's the problem now. We got this mentality to where, okay, all I'm ever going to be is poor, black and poor. That's all I'm ever going to be. Oh, and the ones
they can have that. They can have that. I know young cats that's 18 years old told me stuff like that. Man, ain't this all I'm going to be? And he was right. It was a self-fulfilling prophecy for him because now he's a junkie. But I'm just saying, I've seen guys try to help them and try to. Some people just want to. It's like a pig. You can take them and clean them up. They're going to go jump back in the mud. I say screw them. Just let them jump and wallow in the mud. The only people I want to try to that you feel like you should really invest in, a lot of times people that want to take pride and dignity in their own self-interest and try to do things for themselves, and that's it, and that's a remnant. We're only talking about a small, less than 5%, of the population that's really maybe progressive-minded, trying to start something, own something, and control something. That's it. I mean, and those are the only ones that you probably can talk to. I got a friend of mine now that's unemployed, and I talk to him a lot, but he won't go out and get certain things that I know that he know he needs. He won't do it. He won't file those tax returns. He won't go and do the things he needs to do. But he complains about how he can't get a job. He can't get it. He wants to start cutting grass.
I don't have any time or energy for. Those are the what was me. And all I called him, I said,
man, I can get a job for you, man. He ain't going to pay about $9 an hour, but it's something. I said, man, I need more than that, man. I got a car note. I got this. I got that. But then he asked me to help him pay his insurance. I'm like, well, nigga, get out there and get a job. You can work 8 hours a day and get $400 a week. That's $800 every 2 weeks.
Hey, so my mom always taught me something is better than nothing. And you take that something and make
that.
It
he
work
won't do
for
that.
You.
I said, man, go get a job waiting on tables, man. I said, you can average $14 an hour waiting on tables. No, man, I said, man, you just don't want to work. You just don't have the drive, the motivation to succeed. You don't.
But he can talk a good game now. You put him a nice-looking woman in front of him.
Mm.
He'll dress up. He'll dress up, get a haircut, be all up in her face. Hey, baby, what's going on? That's him.
I don't know what woman.
Every weekend. We see chicks, he all over. He on them women now.
Man. Yeah, but I don't know what woman will fall for a jobless grown man.
Hold on. I tried to tell her. I said, man, look, let's take this motivation for game that you have. Let's start a website and start doing some dating consulting. I said, man, I'll front the website. I mentioned it. He said, yeah, that's a good idea. He ain't mentioned it no more. You think I'm going to spend my money with somebody that don't have no drive? I said, man, if you that motivated for women, then let's use what you like to make money. He don't even want to do that. Look here, let me go back upstairs, man. This wind blowing out here.